like it's there. Just a kiss and squeeze and hug and girl, you know the records they tell me. And they tell me. Maybe I'll take a flight out tonight, and you can pick me up about 8. I don't know what airline, girl, but I know it won't be late, 'cause they tell me now I can't sleep at night without your paper by my side. That day will come for us to be together. I'm not worried about a thing, not even storming weather. To talk about a kitchen up to do. I'll bring the diamond girl because I'm so into you, and they tell me that's just what they told me. Now listen here at your place, let's take a week's trip for two. We don't have to go too far, just as long as I'm with you, 'cause they tell me no, 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 never. They tell me
it's your boy DJ ATL and Styles. Can you hear me? 850?
Yes, sir.
All right,
all
right. I'm doing great tonight. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful.
Right. Also, 336, 336.
And now it's just Pride and Joy.
Oh. Hi, Pride. Thank how you me. Doing? Hi, Pride and Joy.
I am fine. Yes. How are you doing?
I can't complain. Doing our thing. I know there's a lot of stuff ready to come out tonight. And we got some great entertainment. And I know we got some real breaking news that's really popping, too. I know that. But before we get into all that, we're going to do a little commercial. I think we should do our commercials, right? Yeah, we should do our commercial. So let's do a commercial and come right back, and we'll get into the entertainment report here live on the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
Woo! Yeah, man. We want y'all to make it home now. We do want y'all to make it home. So like he said, don't text and drive. So let's get to it. Breaking news!
All right. It's breaking news with Ms. Pride and Joy with Health News, 6 Hour Radio. Teeny batteries are sending more children and increasing numbers of little children that are eating batteries. They're also known as button batteries that powers many of our consumer devices with potentially serious consequences, even death. A new report found despite public information campaign warning parents about the danger of estimated 7,032 visits that were made to the emergency room as a result of battery-related injuries. From 2010 to 2019, more than twice the number of visits has increased, according to the study. Published Monday in Journal Pediatrics. That's an average of one battery-related emergency visit every 1.25 hours. Children under the age of 18 are finding these batteries. They're under a high-risk report, especially toddlers between the ages of 2 and 4 are often to put things they find in their mouth. These have been injuries of 87% of the visits at the hospital. These battery type could be determined, the study says, even after removal from the device, if swallowed, not removed properly, then these batteries can cause death. Even burnt a hole through your child, esophagus. The center noted always supervise children who are playing with a toy or a device that contains a button battery. Educate older children who are playing with these toy devices that contains batteries so they won't put them in their mouth. Telephone number for battery and suggestions, 1-800-498-8666 hotline. We're going to do it one more time. Battery and suggestion, 1-800-498-8666 hotline. Just in case your child get a hold to some of those tiny batteries, also known as button batteries. I'm going to be moving on to my next thing of tonight is a shipment of batteries. Well, a shipment of baby wipes at the U.S.-Mexico border turned out to be something quite different than baby wipes. Once they opened up the truck, it was so many baby wipes, it filled up the whole truck. They learned that it was 11.8 million worth of cocaine. U.S. Customs Border Protection officer seized the narcotics on Friday, last Friday, according to the Monday news release, The Bridge. The bridge connects Texas and Mexican state. Rio Grande officers field operation sent a trailer truck, which claims to be carrying only baby wipes, for a second inspection. When they opened up this inspection, they discovered 1,935 packages with cocaine in them. They released this seized to prime example of border security management. How can we prevent this dangerous narcotic things from happening next time? We must check everyone from the front of the truck to the back of the truck. There's been a security investigation. I'm Miss Friday Jordan, and I am complete, and I'm moving on to our next thing. Our next thing that we're going to be talking about tonight is a one-year-old father has left another child in a hot car. Police said in Ohio, a father faced charges in the death of his one-year-old son after he intentionally left baby in a hot car. Police said the New Philadelphia Police Chief Michael Goodwin said the child was initially brought unresponsive into the emergency room by his father, which is 19-year-old Landon Farrell. During an initial investigation, the detective found that his information that he was giving didn't sound right. So they confronted him. Once they confronted him, he changed his story, and he said that he did not want the child to go into the house because he would wake up people in the house. So this child was inside of a truck, 87 degrees, according to what Goodwin said. It's 87 degrees, and he was left unattended in a car for 5 hours. 5 hours. So now, Farrell is being charged murder of 2 counts, involuntary manslaughter. The police said he'll be held in jail. So he is in jail right now for his own son that he did not want to take care of, did not want to take him inside of the house. So now his child is dead. So now they are charging him with murder. Anybody have anything they want to say so far? Anybody out there have anything?
Good afternoon. How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing well, Miss Friday and Joy. Oh, that was phenomenal news. I definitely on the child being left in the car and knowing the temperature of that day temperature, you know, and it didn't state how old the child were, but just for a father of that caliber, yeah. Because you didn't want to wake up whoever was in the house. So we, we so easy to find ourselves in situations and circumstances that can be could have been controlled. Wake them up. If they in that street, wake them up. I mean, why are you leaving the child in the vehicle, no air on? You're leaving that child unattended for 5 hours. Might have been looking out, but that is really, really uncalled for. And I'm angry about that. I'm angry, you know, that these young people, all they doing is laying and playing now and having babies, just having babies and don't know how you're going to caretake. But because you didn't want to wake somebody in the house, is that enough? Is that enough? Can you weigh that enough to take a child's life because you didn't want to wake nobody? Amen. You know, I find that to be appalled, very appalled. And being young, keep your thing in your zip pocket or whatever you have to do. You know, don't try to Lorena Bobbitt. You know, if you got to do that, please, it's not time and you're not responsible enough. And mentally, psychologically, and emotionally, you're not ready to caretake for a child. I'm completed. I'm just appalled.
And not only that, he told the truth. He didn't want to take care of his own child. I mean, didn't even want to have nothing, you know, to do with his own child. Mm-hmm. That's your child that you have sat there and laid and played and whatever you did to get him. And then you try to lie to the policeman. They knew you was lying because your story kept changing. When you go to police, you got to have your story together. Your story keeps changing. So they know you're lying. Then finally you just broke down and told the truth. He died in the car. He had already died. When he took him to the hospital, he was already dead. But you try to tell another whole story, and then, you know, you sat there and mess yourself up because you kept contradicting your story. So they broke you down, and you had to tell the truth about it. Just had to tell the truth about it. And that's a shame when you sit down there and have a child and you don't want to care. Even if you don't want to care for it, why don't you just give it to somebody if you don't want to take care of the child? Or why don't you go wake your parents up? I'm sure that's whoever house you was at. Why you ain't just wake them up?
Exactly. Where is the mother? Where is the mother? Why did you just didn't take it back to the mother?
I don't know. It doesn't say anything about the mother.
I don't know.
Say nothing about the mother.
Wow.
That is crazy.
That's amazing. You wouldn't want to be left outside all day. You would not be left outside all day in 84, 85 degrees temperature. You wouldn't want to be left outside. Even being an adult, you wouldn't want nobody to leave you outside all day long. I'm completed.
This is DJ ATL Atlanta Styles. Also have another caller, 405.
Okay.
405. You can speak. 405. 405.
Yeah, how y'all doing tonight? This is John.
I'm just sitting back.
I'm good. I'm just sitting back listening. I just came in. You know, I don't know what the topic is. I just heard y'all talking about a child and somebody died right now. So I'm just getting filled in on the juicy details of that story. And then I'll tune in with y'all in a minute.
Okay. All right. Tune in with us in a minute. Is there anyone else out there that want to say anything, or can we move on?
I might have something to say, but as far as the concerned, nobody else on the call, nobody else. What I just want to say is that a lot of times what I'm realizing now and watching media and watching things being played out, we're not really sure of these situations because the media play one story, and there's a lot of things going on in these people's minds. For instance, it could be a situation where there could be drugs being played. Because a lot of us are not saying this. And I had someone earlier this week. We had a huge discussion about the crack epidemic and the heroin crack and pipe epidemic. And those things are actually coming in true into this generation. And a lot of times that might have a lot to do with the stupidity of things that they people are not making right decisions. people are not using logic on their situation. Logically, for what y'all was saying, this person said if he didn't want to have a child, he didn't want to take care of it, he should have just, you know, put it in another situation, let someone else take care of it, or try something. But again, we don't know the sense of our mind, and a lot of us are really lost on the crack pipe and the crack pipe epidemic and the heroin epidemic, because I just think that a lot of us have took some things in from that situation. We don't want to talk about these things, but it is an issue as far as mental state of people. And when we say drug crack, we talk about that on top of the new drugs that's out here that's also being played and out. And a lot of times there's people who work too, who work around the shift to try to keep up their bills. They work 4 and 5 jobs and don't get no sleep. So they on drugs, they on other kind of medications that might even make them even more uncomfortable and more unstable as thinking forward, as using common logic and common mind sense. So we have to play all that, and I don't think the news and them do really talk about these things. When we see these people, we have these stabbings. These people go to the mall. We just had a big stabbing here in Georgia at a mall. Guy ran in, smashed and grabbed, and to me, it doesn't even make any sense what he was doing. But he ended up stabbing somebody, which just didn't even make no sense. But I'm going to move on and let you girls take back over, because I think that y'all are doing a very hell of a good job. So let me go ahead and let y'all finish up y'all entertainment.
Well, did you
report.
Think anything, while you write the DJ ATL, did you think any, what did you think about the story that was before that? With the cocaine, did you hear that one?
Yeah, I did.
With the guy, had all those baby wipes, but it ended up being all cocaine that he got caught at the border with.
Right. And this is something that's been going on again all over, and I'm going to say this again. I keep bringing up the government, and this is something that I had a long discussion with another TV personality about this. I don't want to give name out pretty bigly. And we don't own planes, and we don't own all this stuff. But again, it's been put in the country. It's been put into this country, and these folks use these illegal situations to actually for him to get caught. That's great. He got caught, stopped, but he's just a small scale of the fish or the big fish. The big fish is still walking around still bringing it in. So it's something that I think the government needs to be accountable for these situations and stun them now, because this is something that I do want to say. Yeah, I've been hearing, going through the vibes, that a lot of them now said, let's try to fix the situation because it didn't hit home. And what I mean by home, and I'm not trying to be so race and color in this, but this is what we're saying. Now, since it's so hurt into the urban community, the white community, now it's a problem, and we now got to all come together with a solution. I just think that that's just foul. I think there should have been solutions done a long time ago, around the 80s or 70s or whatever they could do to try to fix this. The whole war on drugs, to me, was to keep pushing it out there. And now we're at this point where everything is so unstable. Now we want to try to figure out how we can solutionize this and stop this from happening to all the communities. So that's my take on that. But I'm going to let you girls get back to the show. Do y'all think, since bringing that news in. Breaking news.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, and you're right, DJ ATL. I totally agree with you on that. You know, this should have been nipped long time ago. But now, because we're in the 20th century, you know, we're in 2022 now, you know, and this has been going on a long time. They use the little fish, but keep the big fish, amen, continue swimming, you know, and it should have been captivated a long time ago. And now, you know, not only cocaine being smuggled into this country, cocaine been smuggling a long time, and I can attest to that as well. And now they have this other drug that they're smuggling in now. I can't think of the name of what's the new drug, that other drug, those things now that are killing you dead on the spot now.
Fentanyl.
And it's all, yeah, fentanyl. That's it, fentanyl. Amen. And so, you know, and if you let one slip, that means that others and other things began to come ahead and to come into different products now. They're using different products to try to smuggle it in. Look how they use baby wipes. You know how you take baby wipes now. And now every box of baby wipes are going to be investigated. Maybe recalls on now because you just never know. Just never know now. You know, so this is something, you're right, should have been nipped a long time ago. But you get out of hand, it has gotten tremendously out of hands now because they're focusing you on one thing or another thing, and then you're not staying focused on the things that are interrupting and taking out our children and children and all mankind that are taken out. But I'm completed. Yeah. You know, I'm just appalled. Yeah. Yes, still.
Mm-hmm. If I may add on something to that, you know, for a brief second, we have to look at the deep underlying causes of this effect. You know, when we talk about coronavirus, we have to know what the real coronavirus is in our world today. You know, this coronavirus has affected the whole world. You know, since it has come into existence. See, the coronavirus is a real disease and it's a real threat to the people, but we have to recognize who the real corona is. Corona is a Latin word. It's borrowed from Latin. It means crown, wreath, but we have to know who's the crown. The crown, who's in control of all this stuff? Who's the manufacturer of these pharmaceutical drugs? The word, pharmacy is a Greek word meaning pharmakeis. It means I put a spell on you, basically. So when we look at all these pharmacies and you're talking about fentanyl, these are pharmaceutical drugs manufactured by our government. You know, and the underlying causes of this is white supremacy. You know, so we have to look at this, and we can't be scared to look into the matrix of white supremacy and point this out, because this is an infectious disease. It's not racist, you know, it is what it is. But sometimes some of the issues that's going on into our neighborhoods, the ones that y'all kind of talking about right now, is dealing with mental health and then substance abuse from these drugs. A lot of the parents in the crack epidemic, you know, we got crack babies running around in society today, so people running around with guns bigger than they self, killing each other. But we don't know the underlying causes and effects of their actions, because these babies has been chemically induced since they've been in their womb, you know. So we have to really look deep into the matrix of what's the underlying cause. And the coronavirus, to me, is what I think is the underlying cause. And this is the crown is England, is Britain. It's where all our laws is handed down at. And it's to protect white genetic survival and to prevent the annihilation of their race, you know. So what that is this, man. They control law, they control labor, they control politics, they control sex, symbolism, science, religion, thought, pattern, speech, logic, as the brother spoke on a while ago. Logic. You know, this is logical thinking. They're going to control your thinking. Michael Max once said if they can control the diameter, they can control the circumference thereof, your activity, anything that you do. So, you know, that's just my take on it, you know, on what's going on that, if you can grasp that concept.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
I do have one thing to say. It's DJ ATLM, South Hill Live with 6 o'clock Radio Network. And what this brother just said is everything that's true. There's not a faulty answer that if anybody want to blame the white man for slavery, they want to blame him for the three-fifths of a man of segregation. This here, you can erase that and say, yes, you can blame them for the dope to get into our communities and destroyed everything, because it has. He had run ahead about the children. We got babies because Walker was seduced in that. So we got to also put in the mix of the drugs that are also they're taking too. So this is why we're seeing the attitudes and the things we're seeing. So if I'm going to hold anyone accountable, I got to hold the white government accountable for this, because this is something that I actually can put my hand on and put my finger on and say, yeah, we didn't have no planes. We didn't bring none of this stuff into this country. We had no aspect of how. And I think that that's something that does need to be talked about, and it needs to be put forward. And if we want to say discrimination, you want to say racism, I say that is the biggest racism, because what it has done to the people are melanated, or all people, because I can just now just say it done everything it does. It has destroyed all the people of the United States of America and put them in a whole unsafe, uncomfortable state of America. When we say you were united, you're really ununited because of that, because the drug trade did so much damage to our country. The 80s, the 90s, the crack pipe epidemic, the heroin epidemic. I mean, I go to heroin because James Brown was saying those things when he put out his first record, which I always tell people, if you want to hear a first ever rap record, listen to that song. That song is talking about what's going on in our community in that day and time. To move to go to the crack pipe epidemic and let you know what it was doing. So letting you know what the heroin was doing, the crack was worse. So now we're hitting all of the benefits in all of the things now in our society. And it's not just affected us black people, which it was mainly was geared to racism. And now it affects all the country. And now we're trying to figure out how to stop it. But there's no stop because there's so much of this stuff inside every system of most young people, older people in this country. Well, so I'm going ahead. I do have a caller. I don't know if he wants to come in. I know someone's calling 828. I know they're trying to figure out what we're talking about. I'm going to let y'all get it back so y'all can explain what we're discussing at this time.
Amen.
Amen. I was going to just remind us, if you remember, I had told a story about a seven-year-old boy, and once he woke up, his uncle was doing, like, the vitamin in the house, and the little boy thinking it was candy or whatever. So he got some of it, and he went on to school. When he was on, when they got to school, they kept trying to wake him up because they thinking he's asleep. The little boy's asleep. Come to find out the little boy was dead that fast. That fast.
Yeah.
We don't even know how much he took of it because his uncle was in there doing it right there in the house where he was at. And he thinking it's candy, probably, is what he think. We don't know because he's dead now, but I'm thinking he probably thought it was some candy or something that he had. But by the time he got to school, the little boy was dead. They thought he was asleep, laying down. He was laying down on the chair, laying down, dead.
Yeah. It's sad. You know, because what they do is, you know, they make these pills nowadays, you know, they call them Skittles, you know, basically they're E-pills, you know, triple stacks, E-mans, and different things like that. Now, these things carry cocaine-based, fentanyl-based, heroin-based, and all these things, but, you know, it's like a kid in the candy store. It makes your appetite, you know, pleasing. You know, so, you know, we all want this, man. We can associate with candy and sweets. We was all sweet babies growing up and stuff like that. So, you know, it's enticing. It's enticing. Even the marijuana nowadays, you know, the colorful marijuana and all this exotic fruity flavors, and it tastes like this and all of those stuff, the chemicals that they put on it. You know what I'm saying? All that stuff is sprayed with a chemical, you know, to get a reaction. But listen to this word right here, a pandemic. What is a pandemic? You know, we've been in a pandemic for so long. It's just not about the drug movements and things like that. What about the AIDS epidemic? What about all these, the SARS? What about all these other epidemics, these pandemics that come about into the world? You know, and it speaks about this in different biblical senses and different other senses too as well. You know, the famines in the lands and the plagues and things like that. So when we're talking about this, man, and then just like that brother said that came in behind me, you know, we have to point to where it comes from. It comes from the head, the corona, the real coronavirus, where our laws is handed down at. They want to control this. Why do they want to control this? You know, to keep us in a crisis. What is a crisis?
Yeah.
A crisis is a turning point between, an old Moorish Latin word means the turning point between life and death. That's what a crisis is. You know.
Do anyone else have anything they would like to say on it?
Eight two eight. If you want to push one to speak, if you have anything you want to speak on it, 828. Just hit your number one and we'll bring you in. I probably have one more thing to say on this, and I think that a lot
okay.
of times I think I have one more thing to say on this and I think this okay. probably close it out. What the brother just said a while ago and what you were saying earlier about the child who took the drugs and died. And see, this is the situation. And then with Corona, I'm glad we do need to talk about Corona. Because, like I said, the coronavirus itself is a virus. And a lot of things that's going on with people's body is because of the crack epidemic, the pipe, and the heroin epidemic. Because there's things that's been done to their body. So when the corona does hit, it does things different and might kill them off. And I think a lot of those things were going on because we have a new system of stuff. And our doctors, don't get me wrong, they are very good at what they try to do. They try to do their practice. Because I say practice, and I want people to understand. They try their practice as best as they can. But still, you have to tell them what's going on with your body. You still have to explain to them. So a lot of these folks, like I said, if they were born and they had a parent was mommy taking a lot of huge drugs, they would not know the difference and know how to respond to certain things that have been said and certain things that's going to go on with their bodies. Because, like I said, these chemicals, these are not earthly things. These are chemicals that do some kind of damage. So right now, as we sit here, we're sitting here wondering why the coronavirus is so successful, well, not successful, but did so much damage to our culture here in America and across the world. Is because we had these chemicals that we were doing, like I said, the heroin and the cocaine epidemic going in from fentanyl and all that's now being played, all those things. So when you have these things already in your systems and you have to try to navigate through these things, and it's also, like I said, again, it's a chemical that also gets into your mind, it does a lot of damage to you. So this is why we've seen the things in the news, and this is why a lot of these things have happened. That's why people say stupid stuff, say things that don't mean, and there's no logic. I believe that's the real down to it. And I really, my take, and I want to say this, and I'm saying this straight to our government. Our government owes us apology and all the communities, and they also need to try to work harder on trying to refix this, because the way this looks, and I don't care what anyone tell me, it looks like it was completely a bigot thing and a racist thing that was pushed. What it did so much damage. And I'm going to say it did more damage to our communities because it broke our homes up. Our fathers are not in the homes no more. It did so much damage to mentally that there needs to be apology for this. And I'm not going to sit and tell no that they don't. This is a problem because, I'm saying to all of these folks in the government that allowed this to come in, we did not have planes. We did not bring this stuff in here. You guys broke this stuff. You allowed it to get in here. So I'm passing back to my guys. Y'all take care.
You know, DJ ATL, I can also say you're right. We don't have planes, and we sure don't have boats. We don't have boats and planes. You know, we desire to, but we don't have those things. Amen. And you're right. You know, we know then when we know too much, they want to shut you up. They want to hush you up. But then when you began to explore and you began to share, and then someone else along shares as well, this is how we catch hold, because we're in a sharing mode now. And this has really, really, really been affecting our families for a long time, and a lot of undercover stuff, a lot of download stuff has taken place, not only with us, but with the babe, with our babe, our babe all over the world, you know. And amen, completed.
Yeah, you remember when they had the KKKs and stuff like that here in America, you know, we combated that with the Bloods and the Crips, right?
Yeah.
And then,
so
they seen us starting to protect our women and starting to protect our neighborhoods and our children getting along.
Come on.
So they came in with this crack epidemic, you know, got this drug into the neighborhood and started giving it to people to pit people against each other. It came like pitting the white against the dark and the toilet, you know, the old against the young, you know, because money is the root. You know, such evil things. We know that.
Yeah.
You know, so when you see me with a fancy house or fancy car, stuff, you gonna it's gonna bring about jealousy, a spirit of jealousy, envy, a hatred. Yeah. And when you bring this mentality into play, you wanna rob your brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. That person to be able to get that equal gain. You know, one dude once said, Minister Farrakhan said, man, to make evil seem fair seeming. You know, evil to seem first seeming to the people. They done some evil things to us that made it seem first seeming to the people. But I want to go back to a story that we have to realize that in the beginning, you know, we're going to use the Bible for a reference point right here. You know, Adam, we're going to use Adam and God. God gave Adam, you know, dominion over all things, and he told him what everything was, what was good, what was evil, what would hurt you. You know, in this was herbal plants. In this was the poppy, the opium, in the land. In this land where they go get all this stuff at. You got to remember, this is the motherland. This is where we originated from. So we already knew all this stuff, man. We was world scientists at this time. But we used this stuff for healing, you know, natural healing, for food resources and stuff like that. And then the stuff that harmed us, we stayed away from it because God had already given us the laws to it. You know, he had given the knowledge to all this stuff and the unjust stuff that it would do. It's like the tree of good and the tree of evil. Stay away from this. You see what I'm saying? So these people, once we gave these people this knowledge, this is what they did. That's why they call it tricknology nowadays. You know what I'm saying? They use it for they better good, but for our worse, you know, the end destruction of the world to prevent the annihilation of their own race. You know, that's how I look at it. That's how I look at it. You know, that's just my viewpoint on it. You know, other people may have different viewpoints, but that's how I see it.
Amen.
All right. Do anybody else have anything to say on the batteries or the baby wipes that was cocaine before we move on?
No, I believe that.
All right.
I believe that's all. I think everybody said enough.
You said
enough. All right. Yeah, everybody go ahead and finish doing y'all news.
We're going to keep on moving, y'all. We're going on to sports entertainment. Six Eyes Radio Network. A man gets 3 years in federal prison for fraudulently obtaining and selling Super Bowl rings. Now, which one of the quarterbacks do y'all think the rings he would steal? People would steal right now. Unless they're going to be right. And then, boom, there it is. A New Jersey man who posed as a former New England Patriot player with some Super Bowl rings with Tom Brady's name on it has been sentenced to 3 years in prison, age 25 years old, because he was selling some fake Tom Brady jewelry. And he was getting major cash off the first people. He got like $83,000, next one $63,000. He was getting some money off these people, man, before he got caught. It's crazy. And he was going through the mail. That's how he got caught, when he kept trying to do it. He repeatedly did it 3 times before he got caught with these same rings, because one person gave them back to him because they wanted their money back. He's supposed to send the money back. He ain't send the rings back or the money back. That's what you get when you do business through the mail. So what do y'all think about this story right here? Man, selling these rings, and we're able to sell them 3 times. 3 times he was able to sell these same rings. So he finally got caught and ended up in jail. Anybody have anything they want to say about that?
My question is, how would a 25-year-old get his hands on?
25 years old.
Yeah, get his hands on a Tom Brady Super Bowl ring.
That's why they should have knew something. But hey, I guess they was just into trying to get what they can get for the kind of money they can get. He was saying that he was his nephew and everything. He was telling people all kinds of stories. They get these rings floating on from one person to another person. They finally caught him. Now he's in jail, 25 years old and in jail. That's sad. And ain't got no rings and no money. They took the money away from two.
So was it a total of three rings that he just kept selling over?
Yeah,
and
he
over,
had
over
three
these?
Rings. No, he didn't sell them to three different people. He sold them to three people. He sold them the three rings to a people. Then he went and got it. When he got the money from them, he went and got some more fake rings made and sold them to another man behind it. He just kept selling them until he got caught. That's how he got caught on his third try. He got caught on his third try. Like I said, because they was going through the mail. They was going, you know, that's how he was sending them back to him. Yeah.
So he went 3 for 3.
Mm-hmm. He went 3 for 3. Didn't get caught to the third time. He's all over the place in Carolina. He was California. Jersey.
He was all over the place doing it.
He was doing it big.
He got caught on the third time. Three.
Third time. Not the one, not two. Third time when he got caught. He even had the players' information down pat. That's what made them really believe him. He was a Tom Brady show enough fan. He knew everything about him. And that's what made them think, okay, well, this might be real.
Wow.
That's crazy. In the mail, I ain't doing no business through the mail. My trip, y'all do, but I don't. No. You don't know what you're getting in the mail.
a lot of people so caught up in their emotional responses to things, man, that it's easy to take advantage of people. Because a lot of people, he did his research, but the people that was buying it didn't do theirs. You know, we always got to do our homework, too, you know. So that's what the world is in. Yeah, 85, that's why they call them 85ers, you know, deaf, dumb, and blind. They mentioned that, you know. We believe 10% information on face value. We do no research on our own. If I come in the room and I tell you, so, hey, man, I'm a millionaire, man. I played with this. Y'all going to take that on face value. Yeah. Most people ain't going to go do no research. They ain't going to be like, hey, man, I'm a millionaire. I know. You know, so whatever story I tell you.
Oh. Wow.
That's crazy right there. That's crazy right there. All right, y'all. Our next story that we have is going to be school shooting. It's already been, well, let me just tell y'all what happened up here first before we go to this story. They weren't shooting, you know, each other up here. They shot at the bus. So the people that were shooting, they shot at the bus. So now the kids that go to that school, they back on virtual for right now because they were shooting at the bus. Not nobody, you know, in general, and that like that. But they were shooting at the bus, so they are back in virtual school here from the school, whatever the school that they were shooting at. Not everybody, but the ones where they were shooting at the bus, they are back on virtual school already.
Wow.
So now we're going to go to this story right here. A student shot dead in Baltimore schoolyard. A student at Vocational Technical High School in Baltimore, Maryland, has died after being shot Friday in the schoolyard. According to the Baltimore police, school has just started for the year on Monday. A suspect approached a victim, which was 17 years old, during dismissal. The encounter became heated And the suspect, also 17, same age, shot at the victim. Multiple times, Harrison said, the alleged shooter ran down the street and the school police apprehended him after a shot pursuit without incident or injury. Harrison said authorities also recovered the gun that the suspect was seen trying to get rid of. The school police performed CPR on the student on the scene.
Wow.
He had life-threatening gunshots, wounds, Baltimore police said. In a written statement, the victim was pronounced dead shortly after arriving at a local hospital. The statement said, this is an extremely tragic solution beyond tragic happening on the grounds of a school in the beginning of a school year, Harrison said. The person that is in custody is a student at another high school in the city, according to Harrison police. So they have not named this victim or suspect yet.
Yeah. She's a mother. Wow.
But she, I mean, the lady that owned the school, you know, she said she thanked the police officer, you know, for being able to apprehend him in seconds. So the safety was taken in place during the dismissal. Oh. But this is something right here. You can't even send your children to school no more, you know. This is like the first day of school. I mean, I don't know how I could feel if I sent my child to school. I mean, and that's you. That's they last. I mean, your last time you see them, they don't even come back home. That's a little too much right there. That's crazy. First day of school where they don't already been out, you know, in these virtual schools and all these other things. They don't try doing the, you know, of last year, and now they start off the very first day. This is not the bus that was here where they were shooting at the bus. This is people actually shot at each other at this Baltimore school. And now, you know, 17-year-old dead.
So both assailants had guns? Both of them had guns?
Both of them? I mean, no, I don't know. They didn't say the other one had a gun. They just said one had a gun. They didn't mention another gun, so it had to be one gun. Because, you know, and the gun that it had was the one that didn't go to school, not the one that did go to school. This one that had the gun came from his school that he go to, left his school, and came down to this school. I mean, you know, they probably had some altercations somewhere else, and, you know, he knew what school he is or found out what school he did and went down there, you know, and shot him. And then when he shot him and stuff, they ran and, you know, tried to hide the weapon, you know. But the police, you know, they followed him, and they got him, and they got the gun and stuff.
Yeah, so they were able to comprehend the weapons and so forth. And... Wow. Well, that's good. Wow.
Do anybody have anything that y'all would like to say on this right here? And then the fellas?
Oh, well, I do have something to say. This is DJ ATL and Styles here live on the Six Size Radio Network, kicking it with the Six Size, DJ ATL, the squad, and also the big people with the Entertainment Report. Okay. Another shooting. And I think this is something that we're going to be common with now because, like I said earlier, it's something now that's in the air. I don't think there is still trying to work on solutions to stop this. Here in Georgia, where I have reside, you know, you're allowed to walk around with a gun now loudly. We've had some issues with this. I just think that the way everything is going, this is not going to be the first and it's not going to be last. It is sad that the first day you have middle school kids, because that's 17, that's basically, no, actually, that is high school age. Kids participating in this kind of drama. And I'm going to say this is because now in our time, we come up in your era, bullies were something, and, you know, the guy would hit you, there'd be two guys, you'd punch each other. But we didn't come to a point where we're bringing weapons to harm someone. So at this day and time, because what's being taught and what's being said out there through the structure, the European structure, I have to be honest, through the European structure, is making it seem okay for people to go out and get guns and shoot people. And that is not the way. If there's consequences, and the consequences are not being pushed out there. Everyone thinks, okay, we're going to go to jail and I get a three-day meal. Oh, I shoot this guy because this guy made me mad. He didn't respect me, and he decided to, I deserve to shoot him. You're not jury and judge. And I think this is the problem, because it's being pushed that, oh, it's okay, this guy did something wrong. You'd be able to tell him he was a nasty person. And he really didn't do anything. But it does not, I'm just trying to make people understand, it does not justify for no weapon from a child, because there are children. I don't care what anyone by say, 16, 17, they're children. They have not lived life. They've never lived out and paid any rent. They don't live. They've never dealt with anything an adult, full-minded adult gone through. They're still living at home. They're still learning, and they're still trying to get to the point to get to a point to become an adult. So I just want people to understand there's no justification for children to be able to have a weapon to take to school. And again, I'm going to hit it right on the head. This is coming from the crack pipe epidemic, because we're pushing this stuff. It's still out here, and it's got these kids going to school trying to push this stuff, all this stuff. And this stuff is not acceptable. And I'm holding the government I'm holding them responsible for this, because this is where this is coming from. So I'm going to go ahead and let y'all get it. Hey, do you have anything else to say on this 405?
Yeah, let me add in, man. This is a true testament of this African proverb. Train up a child in the way they should go, so when they become old, they won't depart from it. That's the idea of training our children. You know, it takes a village to raise a child. So we have to remember that we are that village. And everything that that child sees around them is their image, is their likeness. You see what I'm saying? So whether you know it or not, somebody's looking at you. You know, and we're training somebody. And that could be their child that's looking at us in this village, this world that we live in. But going back, I remember when I was younger, man, and I was going to school, I ended up copping a 380 pistol, right? And because it was these vicious gangs in my neighborhood, but they was a family, a gang family. And these people would go around and they would actually terrorize people, and they was actually killing people. You know, you would find people dropped to the bottom of the swimming pool in our neighborhood swimming pool with bricks on them and stuff, you know, left at the cemetery. You know, it was a vicious family, and this is a true story. So I ended up having a 380 in middle school. Thank God that I never had to use it on them, but I would always carry that gun in my backpack to school. Nobody ever knew that I carried that gun in my backpack to school. But I used it for protection, because when I played sports, I didn't have no ride home. But at the same time, I thought that it was going to be a protection for me. I never used it on anybody. I always carried that 380 in my backpack. And I know other kids had guns and weapons then. But the difference then and now is that, like he said, the world is on a bunch of drugs. And these kids today is on a bunch of drugs, man. I'm talking about the kids is on a bunch of drugs. They doing more drugs than I ever thought about doing in my whole life. I ain't never did a drug other than marijuana. But these kids is doing more drugs today, 11, 10 years old, and their parents don't even care because they on drugs. The whole world is on drugs. You know, whether it's a form of a pill, whether it's a form of a crack pipe, whether it's a form of a needle, whether it's the form of alcohol, the whole world is on some type of drugs today. I'm telling you, and it's out of control. But when you talk on that subject matter right there, it reminds me of train up a child in the way they should go, so when they become old, they won't depart from it. So we training our children up, and the government is responsible, because the government is what? Okaying it to sell firearms. So it's making it readily available for children to acquire these firearms. You can just you can go get an AK. It's children riding around on bicycles with AKs, blowing people's heads off at the gas pump in the neighborhoods, robbing people right now today. You know, you pull up to certain spots in the neighborhoods, and certain neighborhoods where out here, it's kids riding around with bicycles that will blow your head off at the gas pump and rob you if you go to the wrong store. So, you know, yeah, it's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
Do anybody else have anything they would like to say on it? About the school?
You know, I just want to touch in on what Brother Jari has said, you know,
mm-hmm.
but I also want to bring into play, you know, when they took prayer out of the schools, and mm-hmm. then they gave hands over to the children that you hit them, they're gonna holler abuse. So I think a lot of parents are afraid now of the child hitting 911 and saying this and that, saying that. So the trick of the enemy giving upper hands so that they can quickly use, because of the mindset that the government that can take control of our children. So now they saying that if you hit me, I'm going to call the police, and which give them a leverage, give the children leverage, and then parents fearing of what's going to happen to them. They going to jail or they going this or whoever the case may be. But then we have to take back what the enemy has stolen, you know, has stolen from our people in general. You know, we got to take it back and take authority in your own home. Because now, you know, in your own home now, the authority is coming into your home to control your home, to tell you what you can do and how you can't do it, and then how much this and when that. And so, you know, so they can take full control and use them for their own glory to gain perspective, sell them off, to use them as form of weapons, to put weapons and devices out there that will entice. And you know, young people are enticed by guns and drugs and cars and so forth. They're enticed by that. But if we don't make a difference and say something and do something, we got to be a villain. I heard the word villain. We got to come together, united that we stand, divided that we fall. And now, you know, we're at a place now where things are getting out of control, and we're trying to get control, but it's yet still out of control. I'm completed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else?
I think someone else. 828 wants to speak, so I'm gonna go ahead and bring them
okay.
in.
All right.
There we go.
Well, thank you for bringing me in after 15 minutes. Good evening, everybody. This is the Queen from the Squad. Hope everyone is doing well. And just listen, I've been listening for a while, actually.
Okay.
But the only thing I want to speak on is what I know of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the whole, it's our youth, our young people, our kids, period, in general.
Mm-hmm.
And we can take time to blame everybody else in the world, but where it starts
mm-hmm.
at.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts at home.
Mm-hmm.
Period, point blank. We can't let the teachers raise our kids. We can't let the government raise our kids. We can't
mm-hmm.
let the neighbors down the street raise our kids. Not anymore. We can't anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We have to start holding our parents responsible and accountable
mm-hmm.
for what's going on with our kids. Unfortunately, our parents are younger. Their minds aren't set in the maternal and paternal instincts. And
mm-hmm.
we have to deal with that. But we can't pat them on the hand and say, it's okay, babe,
mm-hmm.
I understand. Oh, I know
mm-hmm.
you're a young mother or this, that, and the third. You're still a parent.
Mm-hmm.
You were granted someone's life to take care of, and you need to take care of that person's life. You can't send them to school. You know, we have kids that come to school, and they're showing out, and the first thing we call a parent, they say, oh, well, I did forget to give him his medicine this morning. So
mm-hmm.
you forgot to give him his medicine,
mm-hmm.
and you sent him on to school for somebody else to deal
mm-hmm.
with him.
Hey.
Okay. So then when we call you and tell you your child is acting up, oh, well, I can't come and get him right now. Why can't you come and get him right now?
Right.
Or, oh, Ms. Jones, can I talk to you about something your daughter just did? I'll call you back. I'm going to call you back, okay? We can't have that kind of attitude and try to raise our kids these days. We can't do that. And we can't keep letting our parents get away with that. We can't keep letting our parents say, okay, baby, well, look, I wore this skirt last week, but you can wear it next week to the club because you're going to look good in it, too. We can't go partying with our children.
Right.
We can't go out here hanging out in the streets with our children. We're not our children's friends.
Right.
I love my daughter wholeheartedly, and I care about everything that she does, but I'm not your friend, boo. You can't come talk to me, hey, bro, or what's up. That's not how you talk to me. I'm not your friend. So we have to hold these parents more responsible for taking care of their own children. I leave the house every morning about 6:20, and it's dark because this is the time of night it is. This little boy walks to the bus stop every morning by himself. I watched him last year doing it. He's already started doing it this year. It's cold. You know, sometimes it's a little cool outside. Sometimes it may be raining. We got bears in the neighborhood. But this little boy is walking to the bus stop by himself every morning. So I sit on my porch and watch him until he get on the bus before I get in the car. I could be late sometime. I don't care. I just want to make sure that baby gets on the bus safely. So I put something on Facebook about it one day and called nobody's names or anything. I get, well, maybe their parents work third shift or maybe their mama's standing in the door. I don't give a darn if she worked second shift. Okay, so if she worked second shift, who's at home with that baby then? And whoever's home with that baby needs to be outside with that baby. Now, why you get to stand in the door, but the baby got to walk up the street? If the bell comes, it's going to get the baby before you get to him. So, I mean, it's just little stuff that we have to start doing better as parents that's going to help protect our children. Now, granted, we can't watch our children all the time, and we don't know what our children, we cannot say what our children will and will not do. But give them a more positive atmosphere, and they won't want to do all these things. They're looking for something they're missing at home. And the streets is giving it to them. These little girls that's walking around here that's 10, 11 years old, boobs bigger than mine, and they're hanging out a lot, the bra, and they're hanging out, the butt hanging out, their shorts. Why is your child dressing like that? That's not 11-year-old dressing. I mean, and granted, some of the stuff they sell in stores may look, okay, well, then don't buy it then. They're not working. They don't have the money. You gave them the money. So, I mean, it's, you know, I can't say there's no perfect parents because there's not, and we're going to make mistakes, but we need to start holding parents more responsible and more accountable for what's going on with some of these kids. If you're sitting there doing drugs in front of the child and you wonder why the child ain't trying to taste it, I looked at a video one time. They was having a man blowing smoke in a little two-year-old's face. Okay, first of all, who's videoing it? Who thinks that's cute? And then you blowing the smoke in his face. What the? You're already putting that taste in his mouth and in his system to where he's going to want that eventually.
Right.
So we just have to understand. I know things have changed. I know rules have changed, regulations, laws. I get all that. I get all that. But they're going to mimic their parent first. And everything they see that parent doing, everything they see that parent wanting to wear, everything they see that parent reacting, is how they go. I have to tell, I mean, it's all. I have come out all the sometime herself. You know, you leave stuff around, Journey might grab it. Whether it's something that's going to hurt him, something he just shouldn't have, we just have to watch when it comes to our children because they are watching. They are paying attention. They're going to do what they see you do. And it's just, it's going to get better. It's going to get worse. I know everybody else, the government and all that, they may have their little parts in it, too. They may. But we got to start at home. And, you know, Josh said, train up a child. The government ain't training up our children. We're training up our children. And the way we're training our children is the way our children's going to turn out. And I'm completely
That's true. You know, I like to draw on that for one second. You know, that's true, but it's a double-edged sword too. You know, because I'm gonna share this story with you real fast. It's gonna be pretty. You know, I got an older sister, right? You know, she ain't never been in no trouble in her life. You know, she went to school, got her own business, take care of kids. You know, she was the one that, you know, set the standard in my family. You know, far as being a head of child at 15 years old and succeeded. You know, got four children. Matter of fact, this would be her youngest son that she's raising. Well, today's society is different and the laws is different. So she whipped her child. Okay, but mm-hmm. she went to, my sister's sitting in the penitentiary right now doing 10 years for disciplining her son. She wouldn't go to court. She said, I'm not going to court. Y'all not taking me to court. Her son went to school and told them that their mother whooped him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's nothing mm-hmm. abusive to him because I done had some ass whoopings. Excuse my French. Right. And I'm talking mm-hmm. about way far worse than that
right.
was
right.
on him. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to
mm-hmm.
school and they reported her. And mm-hmm. they pressed charges on her and got her for child abuse. And
right.
she would not go to court. She told him, I'm not going to court for disciplining my child. You discipline, you know, all this stuff that this is a young black boy in our society today that's real rebellious. Now he's living with my mother right now. This burden is on my mother. And she's going through the same thing with my nephew. You know, he's very rebellious. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He talks back, and he won't listen to her husband. He won't listen to her. You know, he won't listen to nobody. And this same family that I was telling you about a while ago with this gun, why I got this gun, my sister ended up having this last child by them. And their mental psych is kind of crazy. So he's kind of somewhat, and they don't understand the underlying causes of what's going on with him as well, because this comes through DNA as well too. You know, and this family was kind of messed up, and he kind of as a child suffers from the same thing. So
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a double-edged sword to even trying to raise your children in this world, because the government got a foothold on us. You know,
yeah.
like George Floyd said, take your foot off our neck. Let us raise our children the right way so we can train them up in the way they can go. They won't even let you discipline them no more. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
But now you know what? They won't let us discipline them. They'll shoot them down. They'll discipline. If you don't,
now,
the street will.
Now check
if
this
you
out.
Don't, the street will.
I ain't trying to cut you off, Miss Clay. My sister's sitting in the penitentiary doing 10 years for disciplining her child. I've
mm-hmm.
seen a dude kill a dude and get 10 years probation. Don't even go to prison. I'm talking about smoked a dude in broad daylight and robbed him for his marijuana in his car, you know, and got 10 years probation. I've seen it. I see it all the time. People kill people and get less time than that. You know, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, punishing people like that for disciplining their children and stuff like that, ain't never been in no trouble or nothing like that. You know, it's crazy. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Especially out here in Oklahoma. Oklahoma is a racist state. I mean, I don't know where y'all from, most of y'all that's on here, but Oklahoma, man, they going to put it, they going to throw the book at you, you know,
wow.
for anything.
Yeah.
All right. Do anybody else have anything they want to say? But we move on.
Ooh,
all right.
DJ
so,
ATL.
I
had to come back in.
Okay,
on
go ahead.
Y'all and y'all said some good things. I mean, warming up things here live on the Six Eyes Radio Network, man. whew, boy, it's hard to cover with y'all. Y'all cover some real things, and this is the y'all hit the right key on the right problem. Government's done.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I said they are to blame for this.
Yeah.
They took, now they're handicapped the parents. The parents can't raise the children no more. And this is something
mm-hmm.
else I want to say to everybody who has a child. Your children, and I want to say this, and this is for, and I'm not against the LBG community, but I do want to say this. All this other craziness that's going on, a child, when he's born, does no know what his preference is when he's born. That's not possible. They don't even know how to, move their feet. They still learning how to see their hands and stuff. I'm just
mm-hmm.
giving you understandable where this stuff is at. Your children learn how to speak, how to become something from you. Don't let the government or anybody else tell you it's not. You learn, a child learns everything from its parents and what's its surrounding, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't automatically know anything until he learns. When he touch a fire, you tell the baby not to touch a fire, and you tell the consequences of the fire, the baby stay away from the fire. If you don't say nothing to the baby and the baby go testify, he's going to hurt, he's going to feel that pain, he's going to say, I don't touch that no more. I remember that. It gets programmed to him. I know I'm not going to do that no more. So I just want people to understand that this is where we're going. Now, as far as this friendship stuff, I've been hearing a lot of that lately. You know, my child is my friend. And I mean, it's nothing wrong with that. So I want everybody to understand that. It's nothing wrong, but the parent still has to be a parent. The child got to understand that is a parent that's with you. It's not, and I'm going to tell you about it, it's not wrong for a parent and a child. The child goes somewhere and is respectful, and the parent is respectful. Even when the child gets of age, it's still not a problem at all with that. But the problem is when they're going out and doing things they should not be doing. That's not mean you go out to a nightclub and get drunk and get both of y'all get drunk and crazy, and then y'all up there smoking crack off the table and doing all of that's not what people do, okay? That's not normal. So that's the first thing we got to make. We got to get these other little things out here that's not normal. Messing with the baby, your son or daughter, whatever, and you trying to have it's that's not. And I'm not trying to go there, but we need to go there. All those things have to be in play. See, there's nothing wrong with you talking to your mama, your daddy, and being friends with your parents. But there is something wrong when y'all are doing evil and criminal activity. That's when it's a problem. And knowing and foolery. Because I want to put foolery in it, because foolery is definitely foolery. You at the club, and you and your mom beating up a young girl, that's foolery. Okay? That's not normal. I think these are things that we do need to talk about on that point. On that thing. But again, mom and the daughter goes out to dinner, and that's not a problem. They go out and see movies together. That's not a problem. Those are appropriate things. But when you go out, you go out. But I do want to say something on top of this as we is. And I think I need to reach to the parents on this too, because this is where we are have been destructive. We got to remember what our great grandmamas and great big mamas and all of them used to say. When you walk out this house and when you go out into the world, your name is all you have. You should never bring shame to your name, because your name will get out there and it will show everybody in your name that has your name a bad relation. Do y'all remember that talking? Y'all know it. Y'all know it. When you go out, you don't want people to know your business. Now, there's something else young man said earlier, and I do want to get to that quickly, about when people go out places and they're celebrities, and they always say they got it or whatever. I'm going to tell you something. If you're a celebrity and you got that money and you want to let everybody know, that's cool. Whether people want to research or whatever they want to think about it, that's good. But don't play games when you don't have it. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Don't play with people's lives when you don't have it. See, be real honest with people. Say, hey, man, yeah, I'm a big-time celebrity, but I ain't got it like that. I still look like you. I'm still trying to make it. I might be saying they might show you all these numbers and stuff that I got going on and what I'm raising for somebody else right now, because I'm involved because somebody else has to get paid before I see my money. Be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to be out there and you want to tell people that you big and you balling, that's on you. But I'd rather you be honest. Because so when something does come down, now you're on TV crying because you can't afford to get yourself out of the situation. So let's stop playing this game. And this is another thing I had to talk. And I know I got to get back to the NTA report. I talked to a big executive this weekend, Mr. Manny Mad Dog. Big shout out to Manny Mad Dog doing this big BET thing. And he said something very fast. Why are people trying to keep up with the Jones? Because the Jones is not trying to keep up with you. The Jones got their own problems. You see what I'm saying? But we're trying to impress everybody. Oh, man, I got this Lex. I got this Rock. I got this. What the hell are you trying to impress them for? They don't care. They really don't care, man. They don't. I just want everybody to hear that. They don't care. We don't care. That's nice you got that car. That's nice you got that house. Keep that. Get that not for them. Get that for yourself. Because your life is important to you. That's your life. not their life.
Mm-hmm.
So be happy. Stop saying haters and haters. No, take care of what you got. That's all about you. You don't have to show that stuff. You don't need no approval from them. But they're not going to approve you. You understand?
Yeah.
I want people to hear this. They're not going to ever approve you on that. Some of them are going to say, well, damn, you could have took that money and got some of your cousins that's down doing all this stupid crime and bought a business and put them in there and divided a $250,000 car.
Mm-hmm.
You probably get mad when you hear that, but, hey, you know, that is what it is. Am I right, guys? I want to keep this real. Let's start there because we need to start there. So you don't. If you're going to buy your car for you. Don't buy it for to show it off to someone else. Because that's not going to sell. It's worthless. It's worthless. But, hey, let me let y'all get back to the entertainment report. All right, here on the Live on the Six Sides Radio Network.
All right. Y'all, did anybody have anything else y'all wanted to say on that? Or are we ready to move on? All right, y'all. Go ahead.
No, I can say anything.
Okay. All right, y'all. So, I want to say before I get ready to read this next story that the ladies may want to embrace theirself before we get ready to go to the next story. It's going to be Entertainment News, 6 Hour Radio Network, with Tiffany Haddish and Aries Spears. Do y'all know who those people are? Anybody?
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, I just want to make sure y'all know who the... do you know Jowry?
Yeah, that name sounds familiar. I think that's just the area, but I know who it is.
Well, here we go with the story, y'all. Remember, I said I wanted you ladies to brace yourself before we get started with this story. This may be a little too much for you. Tiffany Haddish and Avery Spear has been accused of child sexual abuse lawsuit. They call it a shakedown. Comedian Tiffany Haddish and Avery Spear have been accused of having groomed and molested two minors, siblings, years ago, according to a lawsuit filed in Los Angeles Superior Court. The complainants are referred to as Jane Doe and John Doe in this suit, which state their names are being withheld to protect their privacy. According to the complainants, a copy of which was obtained by Jane Doe and John Doe, age 14 and 7, respectively, when they allege that Haddish and Spears had them participate in sexual suggested videos and separate incidents in 2013 and 2014. When we reach for comments, the attorneys Haddish and Spears called the allegations bogus and shut down, respectively. According to the complainant, Haddish was a longtime family friend of the siblings who filed the lawsuit. Jane Doe was enrolled in a comedy campaign 2013 when Haddish was a guest speaker then. The teen girl, she had a perfect role for her. She said she had a perfect role for her. So the teen allegedly whimpered with her. She said she could get her in Nickelodeon. So she went with them, Spears and Haddish. They made the young boy go upstairs. And they showed her a video of an older man that was about, you know, in college. And he was eating a sandwich. Eating his sandwiches was kind of, you know, the way they eat. He ate the sandwich. He ate one in, and she ate the sandwich in two. You know, when the sandwich was finished, of course they would have been touching lips. And this is the dude and the little girl. They told her they wanted her to make the same sounds what the lady was making on this movie. And what the sounds they was talking about was moaning and making sexual sounds while they both eat this sandwich. Spears then told the planet that he wanted her to go on screen and make the noises. So the little girl just thinking, you know, like, I just want to get out of here, so I'm going to, you know, do what I have to do to get out of here, because she was scared. So she, you know, she was nervous, disgusted, and she didn't want to say anything. So she sat quiet, because Haddish wasn't down there yet. But now Haddish is coming down the stairs and coming into the room, and she sat down verbally and explained what was expected of this planet, Jane Doe. And then she showed this planet, Jane, she showed her how and what she is supposed to do to Spears. So she explained to her, in other words, was to give him head. She showed her how to do it. And once the little girl said she did it because she wanted to go home because she was scared. She didn't know what was going on. So she did it. Tiffany threw her $100 and sent her home, according to the complaint. Alleged this happened from the summer from 2014 to 2017. It kept on happening. Then they got the little boy, which at this time was 7. They told him the same thing. They was taking him to Nickelodeon to be a star. And, you know, so he went with them. You know, he went with them because he thought that, you know, they was going to be a star. Spears removed his pants, and he began giving the little boy head. He stripped him down to his underwear and began giving this little boy head. They had a movie that they was making. All this time, they was making a movie of these kids and them having sex. Pedophile Eyes is what they called it, because the little girl glanced at what the movie was, because she was trying to think of things that she could keep in her head, so when she get ready to go have to tell her mother what they was doing to them, because at this time she knew something wasn't right for them to be kept touching on them. So then they try to get them to have sex with each other. Now, this is Tiffany Haddish, y'all. Y'all know the comedian. Both of these are the comedians that you hear about. Then Nate made the little boy go upstairs. So while upstairs, they began the video of, you know, having sex with the little girl. Tiffany and the dude was having sex with her. So, you know, Haddish saying that this is not true. The guy, if you look at them, they got a picture of them. The guy smiling. Tiffany ain't smiling, but the guy, you know, he got a big old smile, like, yeah. That's the kind of, if you see him, what they showing the pictures of them, he like, yeah. But this went on for years and years and years before that they finally, you know, told their mother. So now they're trying to get them, you know, in court. They have, she has a lawsuit against them. Man, she was in there showing them little kids how to do everything and making them do everything. And it's all on tape. So what y'all think about this? 14-year-old and 7. The little boy wasn't up a 7. The little girl, I mean, it ain't no bed for the little girl, but I'm just saying, 7 years old, and she was 14 years old, and making them have sex and have sex with them.
Yeah, I'll say this, PNJ, that, you know, before I draw any conclusions to that story, you know, just looking at it at first glance, you know, We know through so many other people's stories who comes out, you know, that these things happen in our neighborhoods, in our homes, quite often, you know, and sometimes they never heard about. So, but in a system of justice, you know, we want to give everybody a fair shake.
Yeah.
You know, before we point the finger at somebody and just blame them and make them guilty or something, because, you know, but in situations like this, it's always going to be, you did it, I didn't do it. You see what I'm saying? And,
you're right.
You know, we'll never know really the true story of that. You know, if it happened or if it didn't happen. But I can say that it does go on. You know, you know, we witnessed a lot, you know, growing up. You know, I witnessed a lot growing up. And some of the things that I witnessed is probably still untold to this day. You see what I'm saying? And, you know, I've seen some stuff in some people's homes that it's like, you know, brothers messing with their own sisters and stuff. You know, you know, like like as little children growing up and stuff like that. So, you know, but as a child, you don't think nothing about it. And then as you get older, you like, man, that was some crazy stuff that y'all had going on then. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, it is crazy, you know. But on that situation right there, it's like, man, I don't know, you know, what's going on with that situation. You know, only God knows, and God's going to work it out to the best. You know, that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to let God be the judge and jury of that situation.
Anybody else have anything that they want to say?
All right. I do definitely. I want to say first thing, Erico 415, if you want to speak, press 1. Erico 415, if you want to speak, press 1. Fortunately, this is a sad one, too. I mean, I'm going to tell you what's up. And a lot of my peoples that I know, they have YouTube pages and stuff, and they do a lot. And they cover a lot of this LBG cool stuff. And LB and these folks using their children as a bargain chip. I just find this disgusting, man. I mean, forcing children to have sex. I mean, hold on. Is this what our school systems have turned out to be now? And I mean, is this now they're training children, but you can't raise your child, but now they're giving the child an extra hand to learn how to do this stuff?
I don't know what to say.
Is that coming from the schools?
No, sir, that's not coming from school. That's coming from the households.
Oh, this came from the household. Oh, okay. Thank God. Because I know we had
The schools can't do anything if the parents are not approving.
And they had a situation. Okay. Well, there was a situation that happened a few months ago where the school system wanted to teach some of the children that was coming in from elementary school the difference between birds and bees, and the parents did not approve of it. So that was something that was put out. So I just think that, and they felt that that was kind of too far stretched. So I thought this was another one. Now they were going, they, someone else in some other schools county had decided to do it, because certain counties and stuff decided to go as far. But I'm sorry, I didn't hear the story out. But hey, Erico 415 wants to speak. I'm going to bring him on in. All right, Erico 415, there you go.
Good evening, everyone, and my apologies for being late. It's Nicole in California.
Hey, how you doing?
This is Pride and Joy, CJTL. So I just didn't want to interrupt the conversation, so I've just been on the line. So, yeah, just glad to make it in this evening. I do have articles, but I feel you probably maybe passed the reading of all the articles. I'm not certain. But I'm just glad to be here.
We on one right now, and then one more, and then I'll be through.
Okay then.
Yeah.
Yes,
I'm
heard.
Let me get
I heard the reading of the. Okay.
I'm gonna let them finish speaking on this one. Yeah. Go ahead, Miss Lady. You do have something you want to say on this one?
I was gonna say on that about the classes. Now, our particular system has brought in. Something like what he was talking about, the birds and the bees. Their reason for doing that, our boy decided to do that, that is to let the kids know the difference between a boy and a girl. That is indirectly trying to prevent some of the I'm a boy today, a girl tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You were born like this, and this is how you're mm-hmm. going to be. You're born like this, this is how you're going to be. The school does nothing that they the parents don't. We've got kids that's trying to cross over, and just like the girl came to the line one day and said that her name was mm-hmm. something else. And I said, well, no, baby, your name is what's on your paper. And she said, well, no, my mama's letting you call, told me that you have to call me this. She was trying to convert from a girl to a boy. And I said, no, until your mother send me another paper, this is what I'm going to call you. So the school is mm-hmm. not allowing any of this. The school is mm-hmm. actually trying to indirectly prevent a lot of this. But at the same time, mm-hmm. rights and policies and laws, they still have to accommodate this. You know, it's not a choice of the schools. It's, mm-hmm. it's legislature, it's Senate, it's the parents. The mm-hmm. school is the last one to have the approval for. They got the last say-so in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're doing things indirectly, but at the same time, they still have to accommodate because of discrimination laws. They've even mm-hmm. changed the Injustice for All posters to put something in there about these particular mm-hmm. this particular community now. Because they have to have these discrimination laws out there, or there you go, a case. So if you know, I don't know if any of y'all have seen or witnessed a Injustice for All poster, but they've changed it 3 times since the pandemic. This last time they changed it, just about a month or so ago, to include the transgender and all that stuff on the posters now. Because they are mm-hmm. now having discrimination cases. And you have to prevent yourself from that, or that can be a very big lawsuit.
Okay.
Right. Sad, but it's true.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else? All right, yeah, we got one more thing, and I'm going to do it. We're going to do it real, real fast. We can get it out here. This man's name is Darren Burnett in Pink First. He's the male brand ambassador of Pink. Now, everybody know what pink is, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the, everybody know, right? The clothing store pink. Anybody here know the clothing store pink?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, okay. Well, anyway, this is a man that's now, you know, he's the ambassador of pink for the men, so they're going to start making a lot of pink stuff. And he said he feel comfortable in this pink stuff. He said he wear pink all the time. Mm-hmm. He says that he's a businessman. He said when he go on his wagon, he's in a magazine with wearing pink clothes, you know, clothing on. And he said he just came back from the Dominican Republic, and he said he had on pink there too. He said everywhere he go, he has on pink clothing line now.
Mm-hmm.
So he said he don't start wearing it. So he said he feel comfortable. He feel comfortable with wearing pink because pink is just like the stuff that he has at home. He doesn't feel no different, you know, with wearing this pink. He said he love pink. So he said he gonna wear his pink. You know, that's how he keeps getting in different competition. He's winning these competitions that he's getting in. And he feels comfortable in it, so he said he's gonna finish wearing his pink. And so now they're giving out a scholarship. I don't know if anybody has it, but they're giving out a scholarship now, which is the scholarship is for both men and women. And if you know the single duet, Chloe and her sister, they're gonna be able to be in this too. They also said it's gonna get you know, pink. For different kind of people, you know, like people that they may have different disabilities, different handicaps, they're gonna now pick pink for that too as well. So everybody will be able to wear pink.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody have anything about that? They're gonna have it in plus size now. Well, we know we don't have it in plus size, but they're gonna have it in plus size too as well. So and you might as well say it. They said Happy Watson Transgender. So we know what that means.
Yeah.
So then, is it anybody that has anything they want to say about this before we take this off?
Well, you know, men, before all this transgender and all this stuff, you know, good-looking, mm-hmm. dark, black, dark-skinned men used to wear pink all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There's nothing better looking than a dark-skinned brother than a pink, a yellow, a green, a purple, whatever.
Oh, my God. He has just shut it down.
Before all this got started, baby, was looking at Morris Chestnut and Omar Epps and a pink shirt, baby. The last thing
and
I thought about was they was homosexual.
Don't play with it now.
That's the last thing I thought about looking at that.
That's what I was looking at. Man.
Right.
Dark skin man pink. And we have a dark skin man in here that wear pink.
Yeah. Now hold up. I wear pink. I wear pink, but I'm not dark.
Okay, go ahead. What
I'm
you gotta
dark.
Say?
I wouldn't call myself dark skin, but I'm not. I wear pink.
Well, any brother
breast,
can wear pink.
Breast,
yeah,
breast
you look good in
awareness.
Pink. That's
breast cancer awareness, but I remember when I was growing up, I used to have a pink shirt, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I used to like that pink shirt, but it was a polo shirt, and I used to like that pink shirt and wore it, you know, but I'd use them in my wrestling shoes when I went to school. I had pink laces in my wrestling shoes. I always wore pink, you know, like that for breast cancer awareness and stuff like
right.
that. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I do it with my barber kits. And stuff like that too, pink in it, you know. And people be like, "Oh, you got that for breast cancer awareness." I saved the hair, some hairs that I cut, and stuff like that, sending in for the children, and stuff like that. That you know, even with Jada Pickett's, Will Smith, Jada Pickett. You know how she had that disease. What was that? What was that called? And I can't remember the name.
Alopecia.
You send them, you know, leukemia kids with leukemia cancer and stuff like that. Their hair is falling out. We send that hair up there, you know, for them and stuff like that, and donate that. Locks of love.
I'm glad you brought that up. Go ahead, Miss Lane.
The football team here every year, they around. October period, they wear pink socks. Someone have pink cleats, the pink things on. And I think we just get stuck in our ways and we get above ourselves. We know pink is not a bad color. But people just like to draw things and just make a big monkey out of a molehill. Pink can be worn by anybody. But then you get to the point where people got to have something to say. They always have to have something to say. Guys been wearing pink for years. Like I say, football players and everybody wear pink, and it's never been no big deal. But now all of a sudden, well, if you wear pink, you're gay. It's just, people just always have to have something to say, something to talk about.
Hey, you remember that started with the birth thing too, man, kind of with the government, going back to the ATL, man, with the government, with the boy wear blue, the girls wear pink, the rulers,
right.
You know, they kind of set the tone there early, so I got to be with my man's ATL with this government.
But again, but it goes to your parents, though. Regardless of what they say, you dress your kid how you want to dress your kid. And now they got neutral colors, so if you don't want to go pink or blue, then throw on some yellow and greens then. You know, it's how you choose to dress your child.
Right. Well, going back to the 60s, Gloria Vanderbilt said that pink is the new black, because when she visited India, everyone was wearing vibrant colors, but pink was like the predominant color. And so she being, you know, a fashionista, dubbed pink being the new black, and had been, you know, incorporating a lot of that in her fashion. So, you know, like it was said, it's a color in the color wheel, and whomever's gravitating to the color pink, we ought not jump the gun and just make assumptions, you know. You know, it's just one of the colors in the color wheel.
Yeah.
I'm ready. We're going to go ahead and let Nicole come on in here with the weather. You come on, Nicole. Something.
Okay, awesome. Let's see here. Let me pull that up. So, you know, last weekend, Cleveland had awesome weather. Right now, it appears to be 15% precipitation, sunny today. It was 70. It is 74 about now, or at least about 2 hours ago, wind mile per hour at 6. So looking to tomorrow, Sunday, where Cleveland's back at it with rain coming in. And let me try to pull that back up here. so I could be able to say, well, at least I do know this. It's going to be partly cloudy all day. The high is 78, low being 69. And same roll then for Monday, scattered showers throughout the day, 76 being the high, 68 being the low. So back to a soggy Cleveland here for the next couple days. I don't see sunshine here for you guys until Friday. And it'll be in the 80s if it holds out. It'll be 83 towards, you know, this time next week. But right now, yeah. So keep your umbrellas close by.
Okay.
I did see, it took me a minute to find, I didn't see anything, and that was kind of sad to me, about school security, because, you know, it's all back to school now, and was hoping to see, readily see some improvements in keeping the babies safe going to school, but I don't see any, I just couldn't find anything recent. The most recent article is dated July 6th, and it was speaking about the school security industry with school shootings. It's now a $3.1 billion industry. But in this article, you know, I don't really see even then any major, like, happenings or a plan on how they're going to, like, retrofit schools, you know, or anything. It just seems like money's going into it, but I don't see what is coming out of it. So I didn't know how anyone felt about that, but I were a bit disturbed that I couldn't find something recent in motion, you know, and I'm shocked that $3.1 billion is being assessed in the industry, and I can't find an article.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
from the school board, nothing.
Yeah, that's what I was getting so lucky. Unfortunately, there's something that school board and legislature has to approve. We've got one thing at our school that we're hoping to get approved. And again, it has to be mandated. It has to be approved. It has to be tested. It has to be reworked. All that should have been done before school started. But you know, and I guess nobody's really going to say anything until that goes into effect. But until then, you just have to keep your doors locked, keep stray people out. Make sure you wear your badges. Tell the kids if anybody on campus and you see them, they don't look right, go tell a teacher. You know, we do pretty good keeping our doors locked. We have a lot of doors and windows, but we also have a lot of woods around us also. But we do pretty good about keeping things locked and closed up and keeping the kids together at a certain point. But, you know, you can't be 100% safe, so. We're just hoping that we'll hear something soon and they'll come up with some idea. And I promise, if I hear something, I will definitely let you know. I will definitely let you know.
Wonderful. I sure would love to know. You know, I was shocked I couldn't find something. You know, like, well, hey, this is what we're thinking about doing. But, you know, then I see $3.1 billion, and I'm saying, like, I don't even know if that's enough money. But I'm glad to see a budget. But then where are the ideas or projects? So bless you. I'd love to learn more about that.
Yeah. I guess they don't want, what they say, put the cart before the horse and put it out there, and
right.
Parents just be so ready, and then something doesn't get approved, and it's, now we wrong. We said we were going to do this, and y'all say it. We said we was going to try. That's what we said.
Say try.
We said try. You didn't get that part, did you?
Right. That's the qualifier. Yes.
Right.
Have you guys talked about Trump at all earlier this evening? So pretty much I did find something that came up a few hours ago, and it was just kind of going over the FBI property list of the items seized on August the 8th, and it was just saying, out of this article came out of AP News in Washington, and it says that along with highly classified government documents, the FBI agents who searched the former President Donald Trump's Florida estate found dozens of empty folders marked classified, but with nothing inside and no explanation of what might have been there. This is according to a more detailed inventory of the seized material made public on last Friday. So agents also found more than 10,000 other government documents kept by Trump with no classification marks. Says here the inventory compiled by the Justice Department reveals general terms of the contents of 33 boxes and containers taken from Trump's office and storage room at Mar-a-Lago during the August 8th search. Though the inventory does not describe the content of the documents, it shows the extent to which classified information, including material at the top secret level, was stashed in boxes at the home and mixed among newspapers, magazines, clothing, and other personal items. And the empty folders raise the question of whether the government has recovered all the classified papers that Trump kept after leaving the White House. So there's more to say on that, but it's just interesting to me that you can just kind of move out 33 boxes of material and just keep that, you know, basically at the house for, you know, some odd years now. And it just makes me wonder just how much classified information over every president's term, you know, may have taken a walk from the office, you know, maybe return quietly, maybe not return. So I don't know how anyone else feels about that, but it seems like there's still more to be discovered here, empty folders now being part of the report. That's the part of this ongoing circumstance here.
Yeah, thank you. First, let me say thank you for your news report, Nicole. And on that Trump thing, though, you know, Trump is crazy, man. You know, he had all those documents at his house, right? Now check this out. The crazy part about it is, he said that that's his personal property, and he wants that back. So what do you think about that?
Right. Okay.
Yeah, he wants
that
back.
Right. That goes to show you. Okay, so what is this? Because let me haul off 33 boxes of anything out of my former place of employment, and then, you know, to have the nerve to say yes, I want y'all to bring that back and put it back where you got it from.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, we all know Trump ain't snap right, man. You know, so
right.
You know, I mean, what's new?
Right. He just wants people to think that, so y'all won't mess
what's
with him.
New with Trump, man. You know, Trumpy.
Didn't we learn a lot? Didn't we learn a lot about our government with our former President Trump in office? Can we all agree?
We learned a lot, y'all. From Trump being president, y'all. We learned a lot. You know what we've learned, and I want to tell everybody what we have learned. We have learned that they'll never allow the president. I don't know. Maybe just this guy here, because he's. I don't know. Maybe it is. I've never seen nothing like this. This man has been espionage. He's done. He created a coup. He's disrespected different presidents and different queens and people around the world, and he's broken laws, and he's individual number one. Being the sitting president, seemed like none of those things are ever going to put him behind bars. I mean, I don't think. And I'm gonna say this: you had a point now where you can say this man should be behind bars, and I hate to say this, it's the truth. But we're never gonna see that. That's not gonna ever happen.
Yeah.
They're gonna protect the state of a presidency, because we do not need for in this country. They're trying to say we don't never need to have a president at the highest point. He should never be in prison. Because if you can put a prison, I think they think their whole state would go down. So this whole thing, which is I thought was funny, with this Margo thing, with him taking the, you know,
stuff.
Yeah,
2 weeks
he was
prior
to
that,
too.
They went to his. Right, 2 weeks prior that he was there and he went with them. I mean, they went and met him. He showed them all this stuff. And I said, okay. And she showed them all this stuff 2 weeks. You should have gone on and put handcuffs on them to come out with the stuff when y'all were going there. They wait 2 weeks? I mean, that's
right.
Just like, I mean,
right.
The cops coming in my house and I'm beating my wife right now, y'all. Hear me out. I hit my wife right in front of you and I'm punching her, I'm punching her, I'm punching her. And y'all say, okay, well, we'll be back. And we come back in 2 weeks. Shit, she'll be dead by then. So
right.
This is what I'm saying. And what I'm trying to give y'all a logic. Is that, you know, it's not gonna change anything. I just think that all this is whatever they're doing. They just don't want to run for president. And I just think that they're just, he's playing with them and they're playing with him. There's nothing going to happen out of this. I mean, a lot of people keep saying, oh, no, he's going to jail. I said, jail? I mean, he would have been in jail. come on. This man had a coup going to the White House, y'all. A coup. And then he espionage. Now they said espionage. They said all these other things. He put the country in danger with them. 2 weeks he had. I mean, well, since he got all that stuff was down there. Well, how long he been out of the office? And they just now know he was down there.
Right.
I mean, come on, y'all. I'm just being honest with y'all. I just want everyone to be honest with themselves. There's nothing going to happen to Donald Trump. Only thing we're gonna do is see his little boat sell out, and that's it. He might try to run, and if I was a Democrat Party, and he's run for president, that's good. So now you don't have he hurt Sanchez and the rest of the Republican Party from getting elected because they're gonna get everybody focused on the Democrats and voting the Democrats in. So that's just what it is, and I think that's the truth reality of this situation.
Well, the truth and the reality is we have Democrats and we have Republicans, and I'm leave that right there. That's where the decisions come in at. So I'm gonna leave that right there. You got the House, you got the Senate.
I'm gonna
leave that right there.
Yeah, if I can add on something to what ATL said, you know what Trump has really shown us, man. And I'm gonna give y'all another African proverb: Satan has to cast Satan out. You know, this is what Trump has showed us, man. In order for the devil to be thrown out, Satan has to cast itself out. The Bible says it. So what Trump is showing us is all of the evil and wickedness that goes on in office. And in order for this to be overthrown, Satan has to cast himself out before he be thrown out. You know, so this is what he's doing. He's casting out all their filthy laundry and showing you what all that they've been keeping secret. You know, that we've been speculating that's been going on for years, but now he's showing us that this is actually what's going on. And the brother ATL is saying, this man ain't going to prison. You know, no, he's not going to go to prison for what he's doing or nothing like that. He's not going to be punished for that. You know, it's called qualified immunity. You know, they're going to grant them immunity for anything they do, like the police or anything that they do. The prosecutors, the judges, they can mess up all day long, and they got qualified immunity. But where he is going to be punished at, he's going to be held accountable from a higher authority, you know, but Satan has to cast himself out. Yeah.
Yeah.
He has to understand Trump was a big businessman before he became president. Trump got a lot of people in his pocket. So, you know, you trying to come at him with this, that, and the third, Trump don't know just as much about y'all as y'all thinking y'all know about him. So, you take it as you want to take it. That man is dirty. He's going to play dirty because he's determined he's going to come out on top. So you just, it is what it is. We allowed him to get in, and he put his hands in things that he was going to put his hands in, and now we're crying about it. He didn't get in there on his own. So, again, people got to be held accountable their self. You know, people put him in there. They could have thought, they knew how he was from the beginning. You heard all this about Donald Trump. He didn't just get here. But y'all still put him in there. And so now what you get is what you get. So, I mean, it is what it is.
Y'all remember them games like, it's called Monopoly. It's called Risk. You know, y'all remember them games. You know, this is what these politicians do. They actually play this in our neighborhoods and play this with us, man. Monopoly and Risk, you know, wars and games and stuff like that. They actually doing that in real life. They actually making those moves, those chess moves. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying, if I take as little as a packet of sugar out the office, I'm telling y'all, y'all won't be hearing me on the broadcast. I will not be able to contribute any articles for a while because they're going to throw me under. And if I get a whiteboard marker or something, I'm telling you.
Yeah, we'll see you later, Brittany.
And you know that because there was no way a group of us could have got that close to the White House. We couldn't get to the fence.
I had to bring in. I got one caller just came in 216.
Did he just interrupt?
They pushed one, so I'm gonna bring them on in. They probably want to speak. 216. Like, hello, lady. So here we go. 216.
He didn't mean it.
I mean,
hello everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to Six Eyes Radio.
Yes, sir. Some things are just too good to be true. Darn.
So I hear y'all talking about Trump.
Just speaking about like things that we should have already known was going to be some kind of trouble. So we ought not be, you know, too shocked about the trouble. So
yeah.
it's gonna
be interesting, but if he doesn't get a good opponent to run against, if Gavin Newsom doesn't run, he's gonna get back in there. Because there's nobody, you know, that's gonna run against him. You know, that's powerful. So it's a possibility. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know,
I think he is making rounds this weekend.
I was here in Atlanta. Hello, guys. Hey, I got one person here in Atlanta that we were talking about. I was talking to a couple people about the other day. She's running for governor for Georgia. Her name is Stacey Abrams. And a lot of people know her worldwide, United States wide. But I don't think she's going to be able to win Georgia. I think Georgia is more harder for her to win. And her name has came up before since she had a lot to do with the Biden elections and getting people in Georgia to turn over to get Biden voted. I wouldn't be surprised she'd throw her hands in the next. If she doesn't get Georgia, she becomes trying to run for president of the United States of America. Her name is starting to come up around that. A lot of people feel she's going to win Georgia, but I still think there's a hill to crawl to get Georgia to come along to put her as a governor. So there's been a lot of talks about her and the former mayor that ran here in Atlanta, which was Keisha Bottom, running for president one time because of the popularity of what back-end work they have done. To give you a little history on Stacey Abrams, Stacey Abrams also ran a top Fortune 100 company and was a CEO. So she had a lot of things doing.
A top what?
A top Fortune 500 company. She ran as a CEO. She was a CEO. I'm sorry.
Fortune
she was actually a CEO. Of
Fortune 500.
Fortune 500.
If somebody's running a Fortune 100 company, okay.
Well, but the problem is, she's done a lot of work behind the scenes with a lot of big people. So a lot of question marks has kind of came up with her. They have talked about her, you know, on that level. But like I tell people, which people keep asking me about Georgia, I don't know. I don't think she's going to win Georgia. I talked to a lot of big people in the wrong place. I mean, not the right place, but big people in the places and that do a lot of big, that they don't think she's strong enough to beat the gentleman right now that actually is actually here as the governor. They think that he's going to hold his spot because he's done a lot. Even though they don't like him, and Trump doesn't even like him, he's not on Trump's side. Trump didn't try to run to get him unelected. They still think he's going to get reelected.
Okay, so I have a question. First off, I'm late, so so I don't know what y'all talked about already. Have y'all done the news and the entertainment news and all that? Am I waiting for that?
Yes, we have. A little bit different. I didn't get here too long before you did, King Six.
Oh, wow. I fell asleep. I just woke up. Wow. So here's the question. So if you women had a chance to run against Donald Trump, what would you do different? Because I am really interested in seeing a woman. I mean, men have ran this country since the beginning of the time. Now, I'm interested in seeing how a woman would run this country. And Kamala Harris is not going to get in there. So the women on this panel, what would be your policy? What would you do different? Each one, no particular order, but what would each one of you do different if you had a chance to run the country?
Well, I'll jump in now. I think my main objective would probably be homelessness and our youth.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't feel like there's a veteran that should have went out here and fought for us, regardless of how long, and has to come back and hold a sign and say, I'm homeless or I need food. That totally disgusts me. The homelessness that's in my city alone makes absolute no sense for someone who went and fought for us to have to say, I don't have anywhere to sleep, or I have to be sleeping at the bus stop or digging in the trash. That tears me to my soul. My other passions are youth. Our youth are so far behind, it's ridiculous. They can blame it on pandemic if they want to. It probably has a lot to do with it, but that's not the only reason why our kids are behind like this. So those would probably be my two biggest issues, my biggest concerns, my biggest gripes. I just have to let everything else just come and play. But them two right there probably what I would focus on the most.
Okay. And the thing about it now, it's funny you say that, because I had an Uncle Benny who served. He did two tours of Vietnam. And for him to come back, like you said, to nothing. You go up and you fight for your country. And to come back with nothing. I think they should have top priority over everything. You know, I mean, they should come back home. They should come back home to housing. They should come back home to a vehicle.
Yes.
You know, everything. Yeah. You know, because here's the thing I don't understand. How can a foreigner come over to this country? Abid can come over here, don't pay taxes for 10 years, yet a veteran who fought for his country, for us to have the liberties that we have, come back to nothing. And I just think that's so unfair. I don't understand why government is like that. I mean, Biden has been, she's still giving away trillions of dollars.
Yep.
Yet, you got people struggling, trying to get food, trying to pay their bills. Yet, he's giving away trillions of dollars to all these other countries, you know. But yet, we're suffering. And then, the country that's giving out the stimulus, you know, your city might even be not even be one of them. I mean, I know Ohio is not. You know, so that's the stuff that bothers me.
Yeah,
nothing
out of it.
You know?
No, it's not.
It's very interesting.
I just don't think there's lots of construction going on. I mean, I don't know about in Ohio per se, but I know with all this smart growth and smart development 2030 type campaign where, you know, billions of dollars have gone out to different states. And here in California, I mean, you know, they were building like crazy for years. Well, even before the pandemic and really during the pandemic when, you know, it's supposed to be essential movement only. But it's all high rise or new development for those with, you know, particular budgets. But folks in our category, you know, it was even intended for us, let alone anyone who's struggling to, you know, not, you know, be displaced, you know, homeless, if you will. So, the solution is there. I mean, there's empty units here, upscale living, you know, well out of reach for many budgets. But just empty, just sitting there. No one's living in the building. And there's a building right next to the building, more buildings. So, I mean, there's a solution. I mean, you know, we have all these empty industrial places here that could be converted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there's a way to get folks off the street, you know, out of homelessness and place them somewhere safe, but I just don't think the energy is there, you know, the urgency, the true urgency. So, you know, many will disagree with me, but I don't know.
What do y'all think that, Facebook in this moment? I mean, what's the underlying problem?
What was your question? Why are we
plagued with so much homelessness here in America, you know, and all over the world, period? You know, I mean,
in America, here's
first.
The thing. First off, you have people that are truly homeless. You know, they may have hit rock bottom. You know, they may have had a very, you know, successful job. And then for some reason or other, it folded.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, you know, they can't live the lifestyle which they were accustomed, you know. So if they don't commit suicide, they just become homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Because like Nicole said, if you're Philip Drummond, one of my favorite shows, Different Strokes. So if you're feeling Philip Drummond and he lived in a penthouse on the 30th floor and his companies go under, okay, he becomes homeless. I mean, and actually there was an episode on there where big business were buying up their living quarters. Okay, so a lot of times, you know, big companies come in, big developers come in, and they tear down these units. And if they don't tear them down, they'll renovate them, and then they'll charge top dollar. And if you and I are living there, we can't afford it, okay, that's homeless right there. So, like, you know, that happens like that. And then sometimes you have people who just want to be homeless. They like it. I mean, it's like it's a challenge for them. So where you have some people who have actually may have lost their jobs and became homeless, fell on hard times, and they're homeless. And then you just got some that just, they love it. You know, they panhandle all day. You know, and then there you go. You know, so some choose to, and some have a situation where they become homeless.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I believe.
Yeah.
Yes. And we do have some in the midst that aren't homeless at all. You just caused me to think about something. I don't know if you have this going on in Ohio, but out here they found a few folks who should never have been anywhere with a cardboard sign, but because they're playing on the hearts of others to help them, you know, they've amassed, you know, a small fortune. And a couple banks, you know, found them making these, like, extremely large cash deposits, and then decided to kind of just check into that, and come to find out they weren't homeless at all. They have adequate shelter, more than adequate shelter. And just out there, you know, posing as, you know, someone in need, and you know, that disappoints me too.
And
you've got like hundreds of thousands of dollars. One and a half million in the bank, and a good portion of that was through asking others for help. They didn't need it.
Yeah.
And you know, we can't. Of course, we can't detect the good ones from the bad ones, the fake ones from the real ones. I've had that happen a couple of times where I got somebody something and they threw it in the bushes. I get that, okay. I have to just know that when I gave it to you, it was at the kindness of my heart, and because I know I'm going to get blessed for my giving. Now, if you choose to stand and hold that sign and you lie and you throw it in the bushes and you go home to these millions, you got to stand before God yourself with that, because you can't take none of that with you. I'm still going to get my blessing, you know, and I try to tell my daughter, don't not give because you don't know if that's the real one or the fake. It could be, it could not be. But just give out the kindness of your heart and do what you're supposed to do. Whatever they're going to do with that, that's going to be on them, but you'll get your blessing for doing what you were supposed to do.
Yeah.
Now, I'll try to get everybody because I can't.
But I try to give it at least to somebody at least a couple times out the week. But if I give you a bag and you go throw it in the bushes, I'm gonna be a little mad. But that's okay, God, you'll give me that back and then some. So
So here's what happened. Were you finished with?
Thank you.
Okay. So here's what happened to me. So one day I was getting off work, and I'm walking. I work for this company where every Wednesday we would have pizza. We would have pizza and Budweiser. It's like they knew no other beer but Budweiser.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular day, you know, they had ordered pizza like they always do on Wednesday. And what, nobody going to take this pizza? It was a fresh, brand-new pizza. I said, well, hell, I said, I'll take it. I won't have to cook tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to take a couple of beers, but I said no. Nah. So anyway, I take the pizza, and I'm walking through. We have this place called Tower City. So it's kind of like a little miniature subway where they have the subway underneath, and then when you go upstairs, they have the main street. And as I'm coming through, these homeless people are like, oh, we got dinner. So I'm like, no, y'all don't. But then I thought about it. I said, yeah, you do. I said, here you go. I said, how's your day going? Oh, man, we're doing all right. I said, you know what? God bless. I said, you do have dinner today. I said, here you go. God bless. I gave that pizza to them gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. They were so happy and appreciative. I said that made me smile right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, just for them to have a sense of normalcy and not possibly have to scrounge out the garbage can later on that night.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I felt good about that. So being that I gave my dinner away, I'll be done in a minute, brother. So being that I gave my dinner away, I was going to get some shoes, you know, also. So as I'm walking again, I'm walking across the street, and I'm going down up to Wendy's because I gave my food away. You know, they happy, but I still got to eat now. So I go to Wendy's, and before I get to Wendy's, I see somebody. Excuse me, brother. You had a couple of dollars. I'm trying to get something to eat. I said, you know what, sir? I said, I'm going into Dollar Shoe Warehouse. I said, as soon as I come out, you are more than welcome to join me. I'll be going to Wendy's. I don't want no goddamn Wendy's. I said, wait a minute.
Right.
I said, you asked me for something to eat. I tell you I'm going to Wendy's, but as I come out of Dollar Shoes, if you can wait here, you go to Wendy's, you get whatever you want. So, I mean, what does he want, a steak? You know, so I go in there and look around, get my shoes. I come out. And I'm heading to Wendy's. So I see the same guy. Excuse me, sir. I think I'll take you up on that Wendy's. No, I could have been an asshole and said no, you know, but I wasn't raised like that.
Right, that's right.
But I said, look here. I said, I don't know your situation. I said, but I'll tell you this. I said, when a person offers to do something for you, I said, you might want to accept it. I said, now, I told you I'm going to Wendy's. You don't want that. I said, now, they could say the hell with you and just move on. I said, lucky it was me, you know, and not somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I said, the reason I don't give you money is because if you say you're hungry and I give you money and you go get liquor with it, or you go get a beer with it, or, you know, you buy a pack of cigarettes. I said, at the end of the day, my conscience is going to wonder, well, did this guy eat? I said, at least if I go in there and I see you eating, it makes my heart feel good that I know at least I've helped you tonight and you ate.
Right.
You know, and that's mm-hmm. how I've always been. Because, I mean, I can't – if I give him and he go buy some liquor or some cigarettes, that's on him. But you asked money for food, so that's why I gave you that. So, anyway, you know, he thought about it, and, you're right. He apologized, and he went in there and got what he wanted. And, you know, it was a good feeling. you know.
Good.
I'm complete.
Sometimes we're talking to mental health, you know, mental health is talking to us sometimes when we hear folks hollering at us. They said they're hungry. We offer, you know, an option, an idea, and then you get the cursing you out and stuff. Oftentimes it's mental health talking to us. You know, they're not always right in their mind at the time, you know, to start yelling and things.
Okay. And speaking of everybody's mental, how's everybody's mental doing this evening?
Just fine.
You're doing well, brother.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
Everybody good? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Hello.
My mental is good.
Hello.
Okay. My mental is good. This September 4th now. Earlier today, I went to my cousin Deborah's birthday party, the one I told you I was going to try to have her on the show, the one with MS.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
And it was a good feeling to go there. She was in good spirits. I mean, she was burning up the floor dancing.
Aww.
Good feeling. And I didn't even let her know I was coming. They sent me the invitation and everything. And I got there. And it was nice. You know, nice food, you know, nice spirit. You know, just a good occasion. You know, it was something for a good occasion, and not a sad occasion. Because, as you know, August kicked my butt. So, it was good to go to something good and have fun.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Is
somebody
has
another party or something.
Somebody's got a party going on.
Okay. Is somebody at a party?
Somebody.
I hear somebody playing music.
Mm-hmm.
You want to check that out, Lewis, please? See what's going on?
I'm looking.
And anybody else?
Who's playing some music in the background?
That was actually my phone ringing. Wait a minute. Okay.
Was that Barton?
All right.
Yeah.
I love that song. Three Ring Circus.
You jamming.
I got some great jammers.
Somebody was letting me know that they actually are in concert. We have a thing in our city this weekend called Goombe. It's like an African festival.
Right.
And
yeah,
the band is playing there now. It was actually playing that song.
Oh, wow.
And somebody had sent me a video, and I just said to them back, I was like, hey, that's my ring, one of my ringtones. It was a notification. But there was, you know, that band was actually, somebody was playing that song at the festival tonight.
Oh, that's what's up. I love it. I love it. I just know I heard it. Yeah, I just know I heard that song.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it in the background. Yeah. But that's what's up. So we got Queen, we got Pride and Joy, we got Nicole, correct? We got Evangelist Clayton.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
All right. And who's the gentleman?
Yeah, my name's John, brother.
John, how you doing, brother?
Yeah, I'm
good to
right.
meet you. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, make sure you.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? Okay. Yeah. Well, welcome back, brother. Make sure you join us every week. We're here 7 days a week. Great program.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yes, sir.
Hey.
This is DJ KL Atlanta Styles. I wanted to say something before we get out of here about what y'all was talking about, homelessness. And there's something going on right now across the country, and I wanted y'all to know this. You know, rent has went up almost 70% across the country. Here in Georgia, we have people right now who are actually trying to get assistance help. The goods are not there. It used to be like one bedroom, you would be able to get it like for $700. Now you're paying one bedroom almost like $1,600 to $1,700 a month.
Right.
So this is something that's more common because everything is still going up because of inflation, with the whole inflation thing. Also, power consumption is going up. So, yes, you have a lot of people who are actually going homeless. There's people in California, which y'all on y'all side, who actually, this has been going on for a minute, they had people who had 3 and 4 jobs and still couldn't afford to be home, had them and their children sleeping in the car. So rent levels has been going out of control. People not being able to get assistance. The food banks and stuff is not getting assistance to help people. So the funding funds are really out all over this country. And on top of that, here in Atlanta, the governor, and I don't know if this is Stretch Y, because he was talking about this Stretch Y, they were trying to figure out how to ban these people from being homeless, being around these cities, and try to get them out. And also close a lot of these shelters, because the shelters, they feel that they make people acceptable to being homeless. So I don't think that's a fact, and I don't think that's true. So I'm just giving you, this is some states and stuff that's been going out there. But as far as my mental, I just want to make sure my mental is straight. My mental is clear. It's good.
That's
good.
What's up, guys. That's
ATL.
So
if you want to, if you be wanting to say something, just let me know. I mean, if you have something that you be wanting to say, let me know. So I won't be, I mean, because I talk most of the whole time. I don't, you know, want to be taking up your spot.
No.
You,
I came in late.
You ever
had everyone
some...
talk. I was trying to get everyone to talk, and I heard Six Sides came in on it. And I let everyone talk because I didn't want to interfere. I was trying, because when I heard that statement that y'all made, and I just thought that I wanted to add that on to now what's going on, because it's been a lot of huge talk about this, about the homeless people, and talking about how to move them, how to move this stuff. And I just don't think there is a constant solution when you don't have the funds. Right now, I know here in Atlanta that they're actually, city is actually trying to talk to someone to get funds to help some of these people not to get put out in the streets, because a lot of them can't afford their income, for the places they're staying in, because the rent has went up 70%.
That's crazy.
It is. It's over 2,000 here for a one bedroom. If you want a one bedroom out here now, and I'm talking about even in neighborhoods where one might say you got more to worry about than just the cost of overhead. But if I could add to this, we have a new national number for suicide and crisis lifeline. It's called, the number is 988, and this is open for all veterans and anyone. I would like to lovingly encourage us all to just kind of keep that number in mind, you know, because, you know, as we're out and about doing, you know, the daily things that we're attending to, the Lord will send people to you, folks we don't even know, and some may be in crisis. And 988, if you couldn't remember the national suicide number, the full number, you don't have to now. You could just hold on to 988 or store it in your phone. And it's open for texting. It's open for, 988. It's open for texting. It's open for connecting anywhere in the nation. Now, there's not a global number, but I hope one day that there is. But the 3988, they'll still be able to connect. You know, and hopefully receive resources in their part of the world. But it's definitely it's the National Crisis Lifeline for mental health services. Yes,
We would definitely have that on the Six Eyes Radio Network. We'll definitely have that on there. We'll be doing a commercial for that. And also it will be on the Six Eyes Radio Facebook pages. Make sure you like AJ and the Squad Facebook page. We also have a Six Eyes Radio Facebook page, and we have the Love of Six Eyes Media Group. Make sure you like all those pages, and that 988 will be plastered on each one of those pages, as well as the Six Eyes Radio Network website, and a PSA will be coming. Now, if I can ask
you
a question,
I want
to
say,
we're going to be going into the third hour. If the lady, somebody hear me talking? If the ladies would do a recap of the entertainment news, the national news, could I get that request, please? Yeah, I feel like doing that.
For entertainment news, sister, I'm thinking.
We already did it.
I missed it, so I don't know. We already done it, right?
Yeah, we did it.
A recap.
We had our bonus hour.
I don't give a damn. I, hey,
yeah.
The bills are paid.
I would like a recap, if possible.
I was looking. Yeah, I was getting it. Anyway, I was getting the first. We talked about another school shooting that we had in Baltimore. We talked about another school shooting where a school person came from another school. And I think the person that went from another school, he's underage, because the reason why I say that is because they're not mentioning his name. But they mention the other guy's name. So I think he's, a lot of times when they don't mention the name, it's because they're underage.
Right.
Or they haven't had enough time to talk to their parents. Yeah, so there's just a guy came from another school, and, you know, they had some words with each other. They both started shooting, but one of them died.
Oh, wow.
By the time they got him to the hospital, he died. And I'm thinking he was underage again, because when they don't usually say their name, it's because they're underage. And that's why they don't say their name, or they haven't talked to the parents yet. Oh, go ahead, Ms. Clay. What you were saying, Ms. Clay?
I was just going to ask, which one was underage, the shooter or the victim?
Well, both of them were shooting.
No, I'm saying which one was underage.
Yeah. The one that was underage is the one that actually went to the school, not the one that came from the other school to them. Yeah.
Okay.
It was the one that actually went to the school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And that's the one that was 17. He was 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was one that was 17 and one was younger. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing we went to for entertainment news was we talked about Tiffany Haddish and Avery Spears accused of sexual abuse. Tiffany had a friend that she knew, and that she would go over to their house from time to time. It was a little boy and a little girl. One was 14, one was 7. And she would told them that she was taking them to Nickelodeon. That's what she would tell them, that she was taking them to Nickelodeon, and they was going to be going about getting a job there. But she ended up taking them to the comedian Avery Spears' house. They just had it kind of fixed up. And the first time that they went, they sent the little boy upstairs. And, you know, they kind of messed with the little girl. The man did, with a sandwich.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about Tiffany Haddish, the comedian, and Avery Spears, the comedian?
That's who I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wow.
I'm hoping it's not so, but Spears. I don't know.
Wait a minute.
So they were messing with these kids.
They was messing with supposed to be Tiffany's friend. Kids. Yes. And like I said, the first time when they went, they sent the little boy upstairs, and they just kept the little girl downstairs. I said, the little boy was 7. The girl was 14. Yeah.
Oh,
And so they used a sandwich to show her what she was supposed to do.
Oh, my
to
God.
See, that's how they did that. But they was actually making a film at the same time called Pedophile Eyes. And shows. That's what the film was named. The little girl had a chance to glance at the name of it. I guess, you know, she was thinking, you know, if I ever get to my mom, I could tell it. Because she says while she's, interacting with them, she didn't want to do the stuff, but she just went ahead and did it because she wanted to go home. You know, she was scared. She wanted to go home. And when she left, Tiffany gave her $100 bill. So that's like, you know what I'm saying, paying her. It's just actually.
You know what? See that? That right there. And you know. No, see, that's not right. That's just a modern Antoine Fisher, 2022. Now, if you all seen the Antoine Fisher story,
that happened, and then that man, Avery, the little boy.
Yeah,
and now the sister has custody of the little boy because they old enough now. The girl is 22, and he's like 11, something like that, maybe something like that, 14. He's older than her now, I'd say. But, yeah, she actually has custody over him now. It's them two, the little girl do. And their mother are taking them jail. She said that she has tried a couple times to take them to court. She tried a couple times, but nothing ever worked to this time. So I don't know if, you know, Tiffany or Avery, you know, was getting them money or what, but she tried multiple times to take them before this time. And, you know, they kept on that, but this time it worked.
You know, and you would think somebody, now, I know Tiffany Haddish came up in foster care. You know, she came up in foster care. And you would think somebody that comes up in foster care wouldn't do such things, you know, but it just goes to show you, learn to hate it. You know?
Yeah. Seeing there's no way out. I mean, you know, some perpetuate, you know, the things that were done to them. I'm not saying it's right at all.
That's true.
Most of them children raised in foster care was molested, man. They had some of the most horrific things has happened to them children, man, going through all those different transitions in life. If you ever hear some stories from some of them people, man, hey, woo, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I've
been in the industry for a long time. Yeah, it's really sad.
That's unfortunate. Well, we're with.
I'm just glad the little one told. I'm glad she told. I'm sorry. Seemed like sister saying that they weren't successful in being heard. I'm definitely disappointed about that. You know, if it's an allegation, it's an allegation, you know, that it be investigated. If it happens, somebody needs to be held accountable. But, you know,
many people don't tell because they're
worried they won't be heard.
Yeah, they be scared.
I'm
going to kill your parents. That's the first thing they say because they know kids love their parents. I'm going to kill your parents. That's the first thing they say.
And Aries Pierce does those pushes, so he probably scared them, you know, probably did Denzel like, you know, so you're right. But we're just praying for the king and queen praying for their mental and praying that they can bounce back from this. But I mean, that's not right, you know. You get into a position, you know, you're supposed to make the world laugh, not make people cry. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Then we had another guy to leave his son in the car.
Say something?
1 year.
Can I say something on that? You know, it lets us know, and parents truly need to let their children know that you don't have to be afraid now to speak. You don't have to be afraid to say anything. Make a voice. You have a voice now, so let your voice be heard. You know, parents, and parents, mom, dad, uncles, aunties, grandmama, nanas, whatever it may be, let them know that their voice are important, and let them, if anyone in any form of fashion that you feel out of place or untouchable, please make a voice. Let them know that your children know, and your children know that you have a voice and your voice can be heard. You can speak now. You can speak now. No one's going to look at you in a strange way, especially when they're threatening you in order to keep you silent of telling your parents of anything uncurable has happened with them. Let your child know you've got a voice and let your voice be heard.
Absolutely. It's unfortunate. But see, what the difference between us when we grew up versus the kids of now, nowadays people can be in the same household. Nobody's sitting at the dinner table. No one's sitting at the dinner table anymore finding out, you know, what's going on in school or what's going on at the workplace, you know. Nobody's sitting down talking. Everybody's scattered about the house with their trays eating.
And then
when they're in the house, they're texting each other, so nobody's having a conversation. So this is why you don't know Lil Junior or Lil Queen is getting bullied in school. You don't know, you know, that the coach is messing, you know, with the children, you know. And this is why, because we have to get back to the old way of we growing up, It takes a village. You know, it takes a village. And sitting down, having dinner together, you know, a lot of this stuff can be avoided, you know, if those practices come back.
That's it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Nicole, what was going on in national news? I mean, did you feed the world or just a couple of people? What did you do tonight?
No. I didn't. Pretty much, I just shared about weather, and I tried to find current information about school security, what kind of changes have been made, adjustments being made about, you know, trying to avert these situations like what Queen Karen Joy mentioned, you know, as far as school shootings. And I was distressed that I couldn't find a current article, but I found an article in July speaking about there being a $3.1 billion budget, but I didn't see anything about any, you know, like, okay, so what's going on, like, who's doing what or trying to get what done to keep the baby safe. So we there was a bit of encouragement about that, and our sister Queen Prime Joy says she's going to keep us apprised as soon as she hears something, you know, any current news coming out of her district. And then again, I shared about Trump. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. It happens all the time.
you forget me.
It's okay.
Who did say that?
Okay.
Is that you, Queen? Is that you that said that?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, so our sister Queen said she'll keep us apprised of you know, any developments that she hears in her district about, you know, things that are now kind of in the pipeline but just haven't been approved yet. So, you know, the assurance was some schools are probably not wanting to jump the gun and make promises that may not get approved. So for us to just, you know, take assurance in knowing that there are discussions happening and, you know, proposals in progress. So, you know, I said, okay, that was wonderful. And I'm looking forward. And then I just shared about, about the, you know, empty folders, you know, coming out of Mar-a-Lago and 33 boxes of information, and how if that were me taking sugar out the break room, y'all wouldn't hear me on the broadcast. So that was, you know, we talked about the differences of, the brother said, talking about our president, our former president, you know, being that tight, you know, what, you know, he's not real. You know, he wants the information back. He wants the stuff that was taken. He would like to have it back, you know, and things of that nature. So that was pretty much my late freight contribution because I didn't get here on time. I'm counting sheep, but I'm supposed to be counting minutes. And I thought, oh, my God.
Wow.
So
yeah.
I called it late.
I came in. It was a long day. I came in, and when I woke up, I said, "Wow!" I said, "Damn!" And y'all was here holding it down, so it was cool. It was cool. And congratulations on Queen's Court. So make sure y'all check out Queen's Court. I checked out their show yesterday. It was great, great, great. Put together.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
Queen, y'all did your thing. Great show.
Thank you very much.
Queen's Court. Tune in to Queen's Court on the Six Eyes Radio Network.
That's
Queen's.
Right.
Yeah.
Great.
And ATL, let me tell you how they did the show, man. So, can you hear me?
I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay. Okay. I'm glad. So they had the show themed out, man. It came on Ladies Night, you know, every song they did, when they segue into something, when they went to a break, they had a meeting in the ladies' room. I mean, it was put together real good. I liked it. Each song was themed, you know, what they talked about. So it was real good. So y'all make sure y'all check that out, Queen's Court. Six Eyes approved.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Ms. Yeah. Nicole, I am personally and openly, publicly, I'm inviting you if you would like to. We are going to try it again next month.
And if you would like to come and be a part of the Queen's Court, you are more than welcome.
Oh,
we are all in this together. We all one big happy family, a little bit dysfunctional sometimes. But again,
not us.
If you would like to come and join the Queen's Court, you are more than welcome.
Oh, bless you. Bless you.
And now, when is the next, help me, so I can put on calendar right now, when is the next, when is the, So this is for September, so now the next is October?
Right. So the next will be next in October. Okay. Mm-hmm. We usually meet like the week before, the Tuesday of the week before we're going to have the show. We usually meet for a couple hours, put the show together, and then Friday we present it, and it was absolutely awesome. And if I can't thank you ladies enough, I will thank you to the day I take my last breath because it was absolutely beautiful. Everything went smoothly. Everything was great. Mm-hmm. It's like we put all of our resources into a pot, stirred it up, and served it to the community. And it was very fulfilling.
Amen.
And I thank you ladies so much for what you were willing to do because it was great.
Yeah.
I did your thing. And, I invite you.
Yeah, it's pretty
go
good.
Ahead. Yeah, I go. Yeah. And I invite you all tomorrow when you get your praise on without leaving the house. You can come to the Six Eyes Gospel Show. That is at 12 Central, 1 Eastern, and 10 a.m. Pacific. And you can pray on without leaving the house, the Six Eyes Gospel Show. And put this number in your phone. The number to the Six Eyes Radio Network is 424-243-9617, 424-243-9617. Like us on iHeartRadio. Like us on Apple Music. Just simply download your iHeart app in your podcast section. Type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S. Space Radio, R-A-D-I-O, and press subscribe. You'll have the Six Eyes Radio Network on demand and like those Facebook pages. All right.
Yes.
And King, you reminded me, King Six, I think you're dedicating tomorrow's show, tomorrow's gospel hour to the mentor in the community that passed away.
Yes, yes, Silver B. So this show is going to be dedicated to him. A very strong activist in our neighborhood, legend, Silver B. Richardson. So we want to send our condolences from the Six Eyes Radio Network to his family, his friends. Ironically, the last time I saw Silver B. was at my other mentor's, Lynn Tolliver. If you ever get a chance, look him up. That was my mentor. He got me into radio. And ATL, for our listeners, can you play a drop from Lynn Tolliver so people can kind of know who he is? Thank you. Appreciate that.
Condolences to the family.
Mm-hmm. You know, normally how this works, if you can hear me, communicate, can you hear me?
With
yeah,
that, I'm
going to
say goodnight
now
to you beautiful people.
No. Don't do that.
You said Silver B. Richardson?
Yeah. Silver B. Richardson.
Wendy Thompson. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Wendy Thompson. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network. You can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617. This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you. So that guy right there got me into radio right there. But Silver B. Richardson, he was big in radio as well. And, like I said, he was an activist for the city of Cleveland. A lot of things. Brought a lot of stars to the community. Festivals. He was big. He was big in Cleveland. He did a lot. He was a man that wore many hats, and he'll definitely be missed. And the last time I saw Silver B was at actually Lynn Tolliver's repast. And he was giving me condolences and something lost to my mom. So that's the last time I saw him, and it was always a pleasure. Seeing Silver B. And he talked like this. Yes, this is the Six Eyes Radio Network. Silver B in the mix, crank it.
You know, so that, you know, he was like Wolfman Jack before Wolfman Jack. Like I said, he was big in the city, well known, and he'll definitely be missed. Our condolences from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Glad I had the pleasure of calling you a friend, and a great mentor as well. So condolences from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Our thoughts and prayers goes out to your family, your friends at this difficult time. And tomorrow's
Thank
show,
you.
The Six Eyes Doctor Show, will be dedicated to him.
Amen.
Yep. Yes, he'll forever be. That's what he would say. Silver B in the mix,
mm-hmm.
drink it.
Mm-hmm. I was making sure that was the same person I was thinking of, man, when you said the name. So yeah.
Yeah. Are you from Ohio?
No, I'm from Oklahoma.
You from where?
Oklahoma. I'm from
Oklahoma. Oklahoma. Okay. I don't know if he might have lived there, but I'll describe him for you. He always wore like the African garb.
No, I know who Silver B is. Yeah.
Okay.
Stuck in my head. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I remember that voice exactly like you said it over the radio and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, Silver B in the mix, crank. Yeah, that was him.
He has never known how your
energy affects another. Even, excuse me. That voice.
Huh?
97.9 and 103.5, different stations
yeah.
out here too. Hey.
Yeah, man. And one thing about it, if he believed in you, you knew it. You know, like I said, he was a great, like I said, great mentor, and cool dude, man. This is a nice dude, man. Very genuine,
mm-hmm.
and I said he'll be missed.
Mm-hmm. May we continue to do what we can to keep the young people encouraged, like we have been encouraged coming up. And even us bigger
yeah.
babies keep one another encouraged, you know. And like you say, if you believe in someone, let them know. And if you
Absolutely.
Don't think you have someone to believe in, look for someone. And looking within.
Yeah, I mean, that's why everybody is on this platform right now. And everybody's becoming great little broadcasters. I'm so proud. I mean,
hey, if I can say one thing when we get through.
Yeah.
Good job, brother.
Thanks, brother. Hey, we jump each other all the time around here, man, so welcome. Mm. It's all good. So, like I said, it's a good feeling. Even if I would have slept through this broadcast, I knew it was in good hands. You know, I mean, Friday they set the tone, you know, would add new content. I was surprised. I didn't know nothing about it, you know. So it's a good feeling to be able to step. It's a good feeling to be able to step away, and come back. You know, my father always say, "Hold down the fort." So I can mm-hmm. y'all hold down the fort. You know, and it's a good feeling. I can walk away, and maybe take a break and sleep through a show. That's a good feeling. To know the house is in good order. And ATL,
mm-hmm.
you're doing a great job too. You know. Now,
what I've done for you, ATL,
only thing I need you to do, ATL, is
I'm not
maybe
got the loop,
but the
sound effects going.
Yeah, just drink some coffee and you kind of communicate with me a little bit better. So other than that, brother, you're doing a good job. I just want you to add coffee to your menu. that part right there.
I'd like to talk to you about.
You know, my dad had another saying.
Oh,
and I've been saying this for 20 years. My dad used to say when someone would be at the dinner table, my dad was a consummate host. No one could say anything wrong in our house. There was a guest. It's like the customer's always right. But some would say, well, you know, Joe, let me tell you what I value or what they value, et cetera. My dad would say, Charlie, don't tell me what you value. Show me your budget, and I will tell you what you value.
All right. All right.
That's what's up.
That's
yeah, but other than that, I'm very happy with the Six Eyes Radio team. And, Lewis, if you can just communicate a little bit more, brother. Hey, Six, I hear you, or something. I mean, that'd be so great. I mean, cause I feel like I'm talking to myself. So, amen.
Hey, I hear you, bro. Hey. I hear you.
Well, damn, I wish you let me in the world knew it.
Sometimes I have to. Y'all know I talk more. So, you know, if DJ AT, I start talking, I take out everybody. So I try to go back and completely get quiet.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I understand that. But when a person is talking to you, I mean, I don't want to, you know, be like I'm talking to a door, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But
like I said,
I'm proud of you as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I know one thing, we do need to say some things, too, I know, or we need to talk about before we get up out of here, because we really need to get out of here. I know we're way over time. Stacey Dash, you know, I'm sending condolences to her because she just now found out that DMX died. I mean, and I thought it was very fascinating.
She heard
that.
Where
but,
the hell she
been?
You
know, what,
she didn't know DMX died.
The thing is, about it.
She was somewhere for her mental illness.
She said DMX?
Mm. Yeah, she went. She wasn't here when he died. When she went, yeah, she was somewhere getting herself straight.
When did DMX die?
DMX died. Oh my God! Earlier last year. Yeah, earlier last year. Rest in peace, Earl Simmons. This is Earl Simmons.
Yeah.
DMX.
Okay.
So April 9th, 2021. He left here.
Wow.
That, look at that. See that?
Wow.
Right behind him.
Yeah.
Passed in New York. White Plains, New York, at the hospital.
Okay.
White Plains Hospital.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, we want. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Condolences to him.
Another one of his friends, artist friends, passed right behind him, and that was Black Rob. So. I think that we should be concentrating on it. I hear a lot of people, a lot of people look at the videos, oh, she looks almost white. And, you know, she bleached her skin. But the thing is that I think people should pay attention to is what she's talking about. That in one thing she said, she hated the fact that DMX lost to the drug. The drug took him out. And I think everyone missed that whole purpose of what she was saying, because that drug has destroyed half of our community. And then we got into this is why the only thing I will hold the government responsible for this, because the problem is they let it get to this point. Now it's so far in control. Then you find out when you decided to be over parent and not let parents be parents. Now you have a problem with the society. Now you have all this,
you know what you have now.
This is a product of what y'all did.
Right. But there's a movie. There's a movie I want you all to check out. If you got Pluto TV, if you got Prime Video, you can even Google this on YouTube. It's called Counterfeit Pills. Okay? And when this comes on, when this movie comes on, they have an actual, let's say a Tylenol. They have a Tylenol pill. Okay, then they have a pill look just like it, but you don't know which one is which. Okay, and this documentary shows how they are making counterfeit medicine. They're making counterfeit medicine, just like a baker would have many baked sheets with different pumpkins and trees and snowmen. You know the molds. Mm-hmm. They have a mold for any kind of pill you want to make. They got a mold for it. And what's happening is these people are selling these pills on the black market, okay? And the number one ingredient in these pills is fentanyl. My friend just lost her daughter to this fentanyl. And the thing about the government, what I don't understand is, now earlier in the broadcast I stated that they give a foreigner money plus they don't have to pay taxes for 10 years, yet people that need to be on medication can't afford it, you know, so they have to take an alternative route and rely on the street drug dealer. The street drug dealer don't give nothing about you. He want to make that money. And if he can sell you some counterfeit medicine,
he's going to do it. And unfortunately, this is what happened. And this is what happened to Prince Roger Nelson. You know, he got some fentanyl, some pills that was supposed to be for pain, you know, but jumping up all those pianos and rises doing those splits took a toll on his body. So that's why he had to end up taking pain medication. But again, he got his medicine from a street dealer, and it had to happen to be laced with fentanyl. And that's what a lot of these pills are being laced with fentanyl. I got to say condolences to my cousin's brother-in-law. Same thing happened to him. You know, fentanyl. You know, somebody gave him some medicine, and it was laced with fentanyl. Now fentanyl is so powerful. Fentanyl is so powerful. Everybody eats pretzels in here. If you're eating a pretzel, everybody's eating a pretzel in here, I'm sure. One of my favorite snacks.
Yeah.
So a little grain of salt is enough to kill all of us on this line. Just that little grain right there. I don't know what it is about fentanyl, but when you handle fentanyl, you have to actually have gloves on to handle this medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is why, you know, if you got your old medicine around the house, discard of it properly. You know, you can call the fire department. They will come get your medicine, you know, from you. Don't leave it around the house because these little kids, they think it's candy. You know, and they get a hold of it. You got to put your medicine up just like you got to secure your guns. You know, because these little kids don't know. You know, nowadays they make pills every color in the rainbow. To a kid, it's candy. You know, so we don't want any unfortunate events happening where these kids get candy and thinking it's candy and it's actually medicine. So if you got medicine you're not taking, you want to discard of it, put it in a big bin where kids can't get into it, tamper-proof, make it adult-proof, and call your local fire department, and they will come pick your medicine up free of charge.
We care for you here at the 6R Radio Network.
Wow. The documentary is Counterfeit Pill, right? That's what you said? It's the name of the Counterfeit Pill. Okay.
Uh-huh. And they got modes where they make all this medicine. You know, and you can't tell the difference. And that's what happened with the Tylenol scare back in the '80s, the Tylenol scares. You know, when we was little, we would open up the medicine and we pulled that cotton out. That was our protection as far as pills. You know, nowadays, you got to be a damn scientist to break into these bottles and get them open. You know?
Right.
All because, you know, somebody wanted to put cyanide in there. And that caused why medicine is like it is right now. The fact proves you got to line the arrow up to open up the damn bottle.
Yep, don't miss it.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
That's why... Yeah, that's why the candy bars need to be sealed like they are. Well, back in the day, you open up a candy bar, it's right there. But now they got it sealed and, you know, tamper-proof, you know, because you got people that want to mess with candy, you know.
Right.
So you got to be careful. And September 11th, September 14th, the Six Eyes Radio Network will be celebrating 11 years. So y'all make sure y'all check that out. I want y'all all here. John, you too.
It's John.
J-A-H. Oh, my fault, brother. Don't be here.
Oh, John.
Yeah,
John. Okay.
When is the official date, Mr. Six?
I appreciate that. When is the 14th?
The 14th.
Is it the 14th? Okay. It's on a Wednesday.
This month?
Yes,
it's on a Wednesday.
Okay.
Yes, so
the 14th of September, yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we will be 11 years old, and it's gonna be a rough one because, like I said, Mama Six Eyes is no longer here. Papa Six Eyes is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be rough. If you still got your family with you, you still got your mother and father, because then you're so blessed.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just throw it out there. Why don't you just have an anniversary party on that day? Just bring somebody from all your shows, come in. Just have a celebration on that day.
Well, that was the plan. Now, see, great minds think alike. That's why
we believe in Pride and Joy. We believe in celebrating stuff.
Yes, we do.
That's beautiful.
We have parties for everything.
We do.
Wonderful.
And speaking of, they gave me a great birthday party. And you'll never know. These are the best party planners. Cause,
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Pride and Joy. Well, who says, well, what are you? And who? And sex? And I'm like,
how? I do not tell like that.
And it all, yeah.
Nothing wrong?
Yeah.
Nothing
wrong. Yeah,
you do
all,
the same thing
all,
about Yaya. We do not sound like that.
Yeah, you do. And it all makes sense.
No, we don't.
You know, when they
don't sound
like that.
That's right. Tell them.
You do sound like y'all do sound like you're queen.
Well, we get that a lot. We've got
no.
We weren't talking about that.
That's what he said. You and Queen sound alike.
We've gotten it since we've come together.
Yeah,
I got him. Confused.
Yeah. In the beginning, I said it several times, and I'm talking to Queen. No, this is Pride and Joy. I'm talking to Pride and Joy. No, this is Queen. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was shocked. I messed up.
I thought
that.
They was playing the game with
like,
me one time, too, man. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
You're right.
Well, if I had to be mistaken for anybody, that's a great choice, so.
Yeah, you are too, Miss Lady.
I'll take that.
Yeah,
that's what's up. But they gave me a hell of a party for my birthday, so I can only imagine what's gonna happen 11 days from now. What was it?
Yeah. I mean, how many more days to the 14th?
Yeah.
11.
So that's 10 days from now. 10 days. 11.
Technically 10.
Bible study tends to be on the Wednesday night. So are we just going to join in on Bible study and then it just turns into
absolutely
just,
not.
Turns into one big no. Okay. No, it's not going to be.
God's going to be partying with us.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. And shout out to LeVar. Can y'all say hello to LeVar, please?
Oh, I thought he was sweet.
Last week I promised I'd work on my hospitality. Hey there. Hey there, how are you? LeVar, how are you?
Yeah.
And you know what? You don't have to be in the same place to make it happen.
That's right.
Seems like you're in the same place to make it happen.
I say hello to my groovy chicks, LeVar Spiegelman, Club 75. Yeah?
All right.
They said hello to you. Can I have my show back?
I didn't say nothing to him. Nothing to him. I hate LeVar. And that's real.
And Pride and Joy said that.
Right.
Wow.
That little boy. He's bad.
Wow. LeVar, I don't know.
Great show. Great show tonight. Thank you for the show.
Thank you for coming out.
Thank you so much.
Well, you guys have a great night. Some dreams.
You have great dreams too. And where you going to bed by yourself?
Huh?
You going to bed by yourself?
Oh, no. Well, yeah. So far I am.
No, you're not.
Oh, okay.
What's up?
They coming.
What's up?
Oh, okay.
You'll be in
there. I ain't want them creeper crawlers to be coming
okay.
in.
Okay.
While you be asleep. ain't want him to tell you up. Why do you think? I got sense to go off the line now.
Really?
I go off this mug. Don't be telling me how I'm sleeping.
I don't know if they kind of getting the hint. It's still a couple that try. I don't know if they kind of getting the hint to somebody else around. Because when I put
they
my
probably
phone
know,
down,
yeah, they
completely.
Probably, yeah, everybody, they probably all know now.
I don't even hold my phone nowhere near me.
I don't know. I remember looking over there one time, and that other one was in there. I was like, what the heck y'all got going on
now,
over
it's,
there?
It's two that still come in there all the time, and that one thing, he slick. He'll think he's in the ceiling for a little while, and he'll drop back down. Yeah. Boy, I see you.
Right.
Okay.
I don't like all that. When I go on Club 75, I lock it down. Ain't nobody climbing in no ceiling, no floors, nothing.
I'm trying to protect them, because if he ever wake up on somebody, boy, it's over. You wish you had never pushed one.
Yeah, right. Y'all, this shit is scary. And I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't even want to press the one. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I said, wait a minute.
Yep, see, these people something else.
But see, one thing when you look at least you got your greeting up. So they might, now I'm saying might, they might not come in there where you at since you got a greeting up, a man greeting up. That's what I was saying. They might not come in.
Right. They might not.
They might not. But
we've had some. I had a lot of tambourine players around the way. So.
Yes.
Let me say this before we get out of here.
I might come through there and say hello.
There's all doing their
own.
Yeah, well, you know, LeVar is a cool dude. You know, you got to give LeVar a chance. And probably, I'm shocked at you. You know, LeVar is cool.
I don't care him so many chances. No. And he do the same stuff. He go out and do, I lost my money. I lost my wallet.
You know what? I mean, that man, listen,